All right.
Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. Huh. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Every weekday morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Friday morning, we are not doing the regular Friday features. Dan Shugru is taking a little time off, so we'll get back to those tomorrow. Or tomorrow. No, I won't be on tomorrow. I'll be next Friday. That would be next Friday. There you go. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text anytime you want to jump in. A little bit later on, we are going to be talking about this. This is just hilarious. We have some travel stories that we're going to do, some travel horror stories, some celebrity travel stories. But also, we're going to talk about the TSA's wackiest catches in 2018. This is some of the stuff that people tried to get onto a plane. And I mean, I know that TSA agents probably see a lot of weird stuff that they confiscate from people or people trying to get on the plane. But this is pretty crazy. They chose the top 10 wackiest things from last year. So we're going to talk about that and some more travel stuff. And later on, we're going to jump into one of my favorite topics, which would be Saturday Night Live. And we're going to break it down and talk about the best characters. I want to hear from you guys, the best characters in Saturday Night Live history. So we'll have a lot of fun with that, and I can't wait to do that. That's going to be great. So that's coming up. Also, our guest after 1:30 is Sue Crum. She's an author. She wrote several things, but she is an expert on clearing your clutter so that you don't feel overwhelmed, you get more organized, and your life feels less stressful. She wrote a book called Clear Your Clutter, 50 Ways to Organize Your Life, Home, or Business so that you can become more calm, focused, and happy. She's got all of the information. You can also download a free ebook for help in that department. And Sue is going to join us after 1:30 to help you get more organized and get rid of some of that clutter and help you feel better about life in general. So that's what we're going to be doing here this morning on the show. Again, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected, though, is on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Nick D Show. Okay. Let me say hello. Dan Shugru is taking some time off and filling in all this week has been Ben Anderson. Ben, how are you?
Pretty good.
Good, man.
Yeah, it's been a fun week.
Yeah, it's been fun. Yeah, very cool. So, you a SNL fan?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna go all the way back to the beginning, back to 1975 when the show first aired. I remember vividly watching the very first episode of Saturday Night Live, and I've been watching it ever since. George Carlin was the host of the first episode of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And we'll go back and talk about favorite characters throughout the entire run of SNL. Who are some of your favorite characters? Think about that, and we'll jump into that later. 312-981-7200. And in the newsroom is our good friend Vic Vaughn. Vic, how are you?
Good morning, sir.
How you doing? Good?
Yeah, great.
Plan for
it's
the weekend?
It's Friday. What's not to be right and happy about?
You got a weekend planned?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm kind of flying by the seat of my pants this weekend. I don't really have any set plans, but I do have my kids, and I got Monday off, so a nice 3-day weekend with the kiddos. They're off, you know, President's Day.
Oh,
Jeannie's
sure.
off, so we're all going to have. I'm sure we'll come up with something.
Okay, but a nice long weekend then.
Yeah.
For you. Okay, so you're not going to be in on Monday morning.
Won't be in Monday.
Okay.
So short week next week.
Okay. Okay. Well, have a great weekend.
Thank you, sir.
And are you a Saturday Night Live fan, Vic?
I love it. I'm not anywhere near as big as a fan of you, and so my knowledge is not going to be that great. But I'm gonna go back and look, because you know when I Google SNL characters, I know them all.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I mean,
you forget them sometimes.
It's one of the best shows in the on the planet.
And
I love it.
And it's been on for such a long time, and mm-hmm. that means that there are hundreds of characters
Brilliant. Yeah. Some of them are brilliant.
Yeah, some of them are really great. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. And have you ever had any travel nightmares, Vic?
Oh, gosh. I'm sure I have. I mean, haven't we all? I'll have to think about that one.
Well, you've traveled a lot.
Oh, I can think of one. Yep, I've got one.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that a little bit later
it's
on.
It's a good one.
Okay, good. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning on the show. Did you, Ben, I know that we share a love for the ridiculous masked singer.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch The Masked Singer? Are you all caught up?
I am not.
Oh, okay.
But by the time I got home and got all my work done, I crashed hard.
Okay.
And I had to be back here early.
Oh, you're here for the Hawks. Oh, we have a Blackhawks Express to play, too.
Yeah.
And a good one. It's a real good one.
Yeah.
That's
great.
That streak that Kaner's on is pretty crazy.
It's amazing.
Yeah. God, he's having a good year. He's having a great year. And, they bounced back after that Boston loss.
Yeah.
Pretty big. So we'll play that back.
I mean, they bounced back tonight.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They
Well, even inside the game.
Yeah.
Because they were down.
Oh, yeah. They were down.
2-0.
Yeah, they were down 2-0. That's right. They came back. Yeah. Come from behind, win 5-2. They won. So we'll hear all the highlights coming up on the Blackhawks Express from last night's game. There you go. All right. Why don't we take a break? I have some good news, because the three guys that are working here this morning, me and Ben and Vic, we all have beards. That's one thing we have in common. Vic has the most impressive beard, I have to say. Vic's beard has always been very impressive to me. But I have a story about beards that we're gonna talk about here in a little bit, and a kind of an unusual item that's being sold on Amazon right now. It's pretty big news about Amazon getting ditched by New York.
Yeah, that's big news.
And then I understand that. And Adam's growing one too. Adam, our engineer, he's sporting a beard too. We got some good news for the bearded people tonight, this morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. So we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, I got a couple of news stories to talk about and more. So and then Sue Crum will be joining us to talk about clearing your clutter. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 o'clock. Coming up after the 1:30 news, we're going to be joined by Sue Crum, the author of Clear Your Clutter, 50 Ways to Organize Your Life, Home, or Business so you can become more calm, focused, and happy. She's going to show us all how we can get a little more organized and feel better about our houses, our homes, and ourselves. 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about some travel stories and some the craziest things that TSA agents have found, people trying to get on planes. And, of course, we're going to jump into the best characters ever in the history of SNL, and we'll have a lot of fun with that. A couple of quick stories here that I wanted to get to before we break here for the news coming up in a few minutes. As I mentioned before the break, Ben, my producer, and myself, and Vic in the newsroom, and now engineer Adam, who's helping out, who's engineering this morning, we're all sporting beards at this point. And so I have a beard story. It's good news for us bearded people. It says, according to researchers from the University of Southern Queensland, a thick, rugged beard also offers benefits that make the person they're attached to healthier and handsomer and more handsome. So how about that? In their study, researchers left a group of mannequins, some bearded and some barefaced, under the harsh sun of the Australian outback. they've got a lot of time on their hands in Australia. Just trying to stay away from all the weird animals that are in Australia. The weirdest animals in the world are in Australia. That's got to be the scariest place in the world to live. So anyway, they left these mannequins, a group of mannequins, some bearded, some barefaced, under the harsh sun of the Australian outback. When they compared the amount of radiation absorbed by each subject, they found that the beards blocked 90 to 95% of the harmful UV rays from the faces of the mannequins. How about that? This level of built-in protection in human beard owners would successfully slow the aging process and reduce the risk of one day developing skin cancer. Facial hair has an ultraviolet protection factor, UPF, of anywhere from 2 to 21, one scientist said. That's Alfio Parisi. The percentage of UV blocked to the skin depends on the thickness and angle of the sun, provided the beard is of reasonable thickness. I don't think there is a need to slather sunscreen over a beard due to the protection it provides. Though the adequate thickness of a beard can be hard to quantify, Parisi told Men's Journal that, quote, it has to be a thick, bushy beard, not just stubble. Beards are also good at capturing dust and pollen, which sounds like bad news for people with asthma or hay fever. Instead, they work like fuzzy fortresses, protecting your nose, eyes, and mouth from irritants. What's more, an impressive coat of facial hair retains moisture and acts as a barrier against harsh wind, keeping the skin underneath fresh and youthful. For men who sport their beards with pride, the fact that their appeal is supported by science may come as no surprise. For those who feel pressured to bear all, there's always one more reason to toss the razor and embrace the beard. There you go. Beards scientifically proven to be awesome. The reason I have a beard is because I hate shaving. I'm lazy and I hate shaving. How long have you had yours?
Oh man, it's been a couple years now.
Yeah, I'm just lazy and I can't. I mean, I hate shaving. I hate it. I don't know. It's just a pain. So
yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah,
mine was more because I just wanted to do it,
just to grow the beard.
Yeah, yeah, and it ended up I just liked it better. There's a better look on me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fine. I don't know. But, I mean, as far as looks go, I don't even think about that kind of crap anymore.
I'm still young.
But, yeah. But for me, it's just I like it. I like the beard. I like it. And it also means that I don't have to shave as often. So, you know.
That's always the plus.
Yeah. But I've had mine for a while, you know. A few years now. I've had the beard a few years. I used to have the for a long time. I had the old goatee. I did the goatee for a good amount of time, but then I just let the whole thing go. And the only time that I shave completely is in Movember, because I do the Movember thing. You familiar with Movember, Ben?
Yes, I am.
The charity. At every November, I shave clean, and then I just grow the mustache. That's the only time of the year that I don't have the full beard.
Okay.
Is when I'm doing Movember to raise money, you know, for Movember. But that's the only time. And it's funny because it's like, when I do grow out the mustache, I always do the Fu Manchu mustache that comes down.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that I do. And every time now, it's over the years now that I've been doing the Movember thing, every Thanksgiving, when I go visit my parents and have Thanksgiving, I look like a prisoner because I've got the, you know, I don't look very festive on Thanksgiving now the past few years because I'm sporting this crazy mustache.
Uh-huh.
So, but anyway, so it's healthy now to have a beard and it's scientifically proven. I wonder who do you think came up with the idea to put mannequins out in the middle of the Australian heat and put beards on some of them and not on the others? I mean, what was it? Was the intent to study? I mean, did somebody go, I got an idea. I want to do a study about beards. Let's get some mannequins and put them out in the sun here in Australia and see what happens. And then we can record the outcome.
I just want to know if dingoes were involved.
Yeah. Well, they were too busy. They were too busy snatching babies. That was the. So you know that maybe the dingo ate your baby. That's actually. Have you ever seen the movie, the Meryl Streep movie?
No. No, I haven't.
That's a quote from a movie.
Yeah, I knew it.
That Julia Louis-Dreyfus is quoting from the movie Cry in the Dark. That was the name of the movie. And the thing that's amazing about that movie is that it's based on a true story. It really happened. These people were out camping, and a dingo took the baby. And she got, and the woman was blamed, and they blamed her. You know, they tried to try her for the murder of her child. And it's based on a true story. And a lot of people are like... It was absolutely based on a true story. By the way, it's a great movie if you've never seen it.
Okay.
The Cry in the Dark. It's a great movie.
My to-watch list just keeps increasing throughout this week.
Yeah, that tends to happen. I've seen too many movies and I like to tell people about movies that are kind of obscure, you know what I mean? That not a lot of people haven't seen. You know, Cry in the Dark, she was nominated for that movie. For Best Actress, because she's nominated all the time. Like, she's the... Meryl Streep gets nominated for everything. When she won the Academy Award for The Iron Lady, I was like, man, they give her awards for whatever, because The Iron Lady's not a good movie. I mean, she's fine in it, but it's not one of her best performances, and it's actually not a good movie. But Cry in the Dark is really good. Cry in the Dark is really, really good. And, yeah. So, now, speaking of, you were talking about dingoes, well, what about sloths?
Sloths
seem to be really popular now.
Really?
Yeah. And I think a lot of it has to do with Zootopia.
Because the
sloth at the DMV was one of the funniest. That's one of the funniest things I've seen in years. Was that scene in the DMV with the sloth was hilarious. That's a really good movie, but that scene was
pretty hysterical.
Now there is a microwavable plush toy that's available on Amazon for $20. It's a sloth. It's the ultimate cuddle companion. Just pop it in the microwave for a minute till it will warm you right up and will increase and be releasing a soothing scent. The toy, filled with millet grains and dried French lavender, an aroma that's scientifically proven to help people sleep better. It makes a great bedtime buddy for children ages 3 and up, and it also helps with some very adult-like problems. According to the company, the toy can be used to relieve stress, arthritis, headaches, sinus pressure, cramps, and various other aches and pains. And he's cute, too. The sloth is adorable, I have to say. Your sloth pal can also be converted into a cold pack by placing it in a plastic bag and sticking it in the freezer for 2 to 3 hours. That way, if you bump your head and happen to be all out of frozen peas, you'll have something handy to reduce the swelling. The plush toy weighs under 2 pounds. It's easy to clean. Just take a damp cloth and wipe it down. It's Intellex offers a wide range of warmies toys, from everyday animals like cats, dogs, and frogs, to extinct and mystical creatures like dinosaurs and dragons. Some also come in similar sizes, called Cozy Plush Junior Toys. You can check out more from the company's products on Amazon. So throw your sloth in the microwave, and you're off to the races. Because as soon as I saw this, you know, I was scrolling through Facebook, and it was Mental Floss actually posted this on their page. And I saw the picture of the sloth, and I just started laughing immediately. And then I read the story, and I thought, well, you got to let people know about this. It's only $20. Get a better night's sleep. Now, the other thing is that, you know, if this thing is going to help you relieve stress, sinus pressure, and headaches, cramps, stuff like that. And you know what? On top of that, if you have a beard, you have double the protection. You've got your sloth and a beard. So you're getting protection from the elements while you're sleeping. With your French lavender filled plush toy, and it's $20. So there you go. I got a feeling that this thing is gonna run out of them on Amazon. So, and again, a whole line of them. You can get dinosaurs, you can get dragons, dogs, frogs, cats, whatever you like, and of course sloths. Is it sloths or sloths? I don't know.
I'll go with sloths.
Yeah, that's what I would think. That sounds like it would be correct.
Yeah, it just takes longer to say, which I feel is appropriate.
It is. Of course it's appropriate for when you're talking about a sloth. All right. You know, it used to be that when I thought of sloth, I thought of that scene in Seven.
Oh, yeah.
Where they where they bust into the guy's bedroom and he's That's what I always pictured as sloth until, you know, the Zootopia thing came out. It made me feel better about the word sloth, I can tell you. All right. So anyway, get it on Amazon and check it out and get your microwavable sloth. Not to eat. This is not, it's not a food. It's a plush toy to help everybody out. All right. Speaking of helping people out, Sue Crum is going to join us after the news. Her book is called Clear Your Clutter, and she is going to help you organize your life, feel better about it, and get more organized and getting rid of that clutter in your house and in your life. She's going to help us out right after the news, which is coming up right after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on a Friday morning. Not doing the regular Friday features this morning. Dan Trigrew is taking some time off, so he's usually in charge of all of that. So we're just going to skip that again, but we'll get it in next week, starting next week. We're going to be talking about some travel, some really funny travel stories that'll be coming up. And also, we're going to talk about the best SNL characters in the history of the show. What were your favorites and what are the best and most memorable characters in SNL history? So that'll be coming up. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Stay connected with us on Facebook at facebook.com/Nick D Show. So my guest right now is the author of Clear Your Clutter, 50 Ways to Organize Your Life, Home, or Business so that you can become more calm, focused, and happy. She's been on the show before, and she helps people clear the clutter and make, you know, make life better. And you can also download her free ebook, Simple Strategies for Clutter Clearing, that you can do now. And that's at her website. Her website is SueCrum.com. That's S-R-U-M, SueCrum.com. And we welcome Sue back to the show. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Great, great. Good, thanks good, good. For inviting me. I always love to talk with you and see what's new in Chicago.
Yeah, now you have connections here to Illinois, right?
Well, I do. I grew up there. I was born in the city and then grew up in the suburb of Homewood, Illinois.
Oh, you were from Homewood. Okay.
Yeah, 186 and Page Avenue.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go. How long did you spend here in the Chicago area?
Well, in the city itself, I lived in the city till like I was five, and then my parents moved maybe when I was six to Homewood, and then I went to high school in Chicago Heights, and I went to Bradley in Peoria, and after 21 winters in Illinois, I thought there might be better weather somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I bought a red convertible and moved to Southern California.
Let me just tell you something right now, Sue. You're missing a heck of a winter. Here in Chicago.
That's what I heard.
Oh, it's just been brutal.
My friends have been pretty chilly back there. I came out here, though, and became a downhill skier. And our mountain right now, our mountain here where we ski, Mammoth Mountain, has just announced they're going to stay open till the 4th of July. We've had so far about 35 feet of snowfall this season. So,
wow.
I know a good snowstorm when I see one.
Yeah,
so, I haven't left snow entirely.
Yeah, well, there you go. There you go. Well, listen, let's talk about your background. How did you become someone who specializes in clearing the clutter? Was it personal? How did you get there?
Sure, it's kind of a circuitous route, but my one of my first careers was as a school administrator, and I did that for quite a while, and served all different roles in that, you know, assistant principal, principal, assistant superintendent, acting superintendent, all those kind of roles. And I left that. I was doing that in the San Gabriel Valley area of Los Angeles County, and I moved to San Diego County when my mother was kind of needing help, shall we say. And in leaving all of that world behind me, I found I was kind of focused on selling a house, buying a house, dealing with my mother's house, and I got into interior redesign, helping people remake their space using what they had, and I realized And staging homes to sell and staging homes to stay. And I realized that it really wasn't your zip code or what cul-de-sac you lived on. If you had so much stuff in your house, no one could see it if they were trying to buy it. They couldn't quite see through the clutter. So I started working with clients and real estate people and helping clients get their house ready for the marketplace so that new potential buyers could see the potential in their house. And so from that, I just got back into speaking again and found that as I would give different talks, people would say, oh, that's so funny. You know, tell me that one again or write that one down. And so that kind of led to the book, Clear Your Clutter. And I have a new book that just came out, but maybe we can save that for another interview. It just came out this month.
No, we can talk about that. We can talk about that as well. So,
but, it's called You've Got the Power, and it's kind of 52 short little quick tips to help people create calm, increase productivity, and transform themselves. So what I found with the clutter is once people start to recognize how important environments are, they're able to break through and just see more possibilities and opportunities in their life that have been holding them back, because sometimes the clutter and the stuff just keeps them living in the past and they're not living for the future. Mm-hmm. You know, they're hanging on to all sorts of stuff from the past. And the clients that I work with now, I work with them virtually. So I have clients from different states. And in fact, I have a client right now that's from Central California, Central Illinois, in the Urbana-Champaign area. So I work with clients all across the country virtually on their clearing their clutter.
Oh wow! Okay, and so that's great. So now, what constitutes as clutter? Do you have like a definition for it, or?
Well, clutter is really delayed decisions. So anything can be clutter. It can be mental clutter, where you're trying to decide, you know, are you staying in this relationship? Are you leaving this relationship? Are you staying where you're living? Are you leaving where you're living? Are you staying in the job you're in? Are you leaving the job? Do you want to start your own business? That's all mental clutter. So that's just a delayed decision. You know, you just kind of have this wrestling conversation with yourself that goes on and on and on and on. And then there's emotional clutter, where people are just kind of hung up on their yesterdays or just hung up on their should-haves, you know, and they start shooting on themselves. I should have done this and I should have done that. And
yeah.
I should have gone here and I should have moved there and I should have left him and I should have left her and all of that. And that's a delayed decision because they're living in yesterday. And then for many people, there's the physical clutter that ends up because of perhaps circumstances, an illness, a death. Some of my clients have inherited a house where their family members died, but they didn't take their stuff with them when they left. So then they had all of that stuff to go through, but they brought in their own stuff on top of it. And so it just kind of blocks people and it stops people from getting on with what they want to do. Mm. And there's different levels, I would say, of clutter. Because some people, you know, can get by if they know where things are, but other people, it just stifles them when they walk in a room and there's no breathing space.
Mm. And how many people do you usually help out? Do you have a lot of clients?
Well, I do. I have two coaching programs. One is in clutter clearing, and that's a 6-week program. And then I have other clients in high performance. So once people get their environments figured out, then they're able to move on to a higher level of performing in all areas of their life. They're able to, you know, take on maybe starting a business or changing a career or going back to school or deciding to move somewhere and begin again or, you know, just kind of change the environment that they were in. And so those are two programs. They're two separate programs, but I do them both virtually, and one is a 12-week program, and one is a 6-week program. So, but it's all done virtually by phone. Mm. So it makes it really convenient for people because everybody's busy. You know, you
right.
talk to anybody today. You know, how are you? Oh, I'm so busy. and busy's become this new badge. So for folks, you know, that are busy, they don't need, you know, coaching that's going to go on for a lifetime or years. They just need something to kind of, you know, kick them in the pants and get them going.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and, you know, it's difficult for some people to acknowledge the clutter because, you know, some people just don't like change. Do you come across that a lot?
Well, yeah, there's the expression, when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Mm.
And for some folks, when they reach a breaking point, that's usually when they connect with me and they go, I can't live like this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or they've lost their purpose. Some of the folks I work with are people who are now empty nesters, and primarily women. And they, you know, their whole identity was wrapped up in being so-and-so's mom. And that was what they did. And they did a great job with it, and that was their purpose. But those children launched, and that's what you want children to do. You want them to grow up and launch.
Yeah.
But it leaves a void for many, many parents. And then it's like, well, now what? And so some of my clients, the clutter isn't what we're working on. We're working on how to build a new purpose, how to build new passion, where to find new priorities, and how to, you know, still contribute to life. Because some of them get to feeling like, well, my life is over. That's what I was supposed to do, and now, you know, they've left.
Wow, yeah.
And I say, no, you did your job well. Congratulations, you launched.
Right.
Them. That's what we're supposed to do.
Right.
So I work with them on helping to build a new purpose and finding new passion, and and I love that because they have so much more joy to give and more to contribute.
Yeah. Okay, Sue, hang on. Okay.
Sure.
Okay, Sue Crum is with us. She is the author of Clear Your Clutter. When we come back, we're going to talk about her top 10 favorite strategies. Her top 10. 10 strategies to clear the clutter and make your life better, more organized. We'll take a quick break here on 720 WGN. All right. And welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. My guest is Sue Crum. She's the author of Clear Your Clutter. She has a free ebook that you can get on her website. It's called Simple Strategies for Clutter Clearing that you can do now. That's SueCrum.com. That's C-U-R-M, SueCrum.com. We welcome Sue back to the show. Welcome back, Sue.
Thanks so much, Nick.
Hey, please tell us about the top 10 strategies. These are ways
right.
to help people. Yeah.
Yes, and they're included in the free ebook. One of the ones that I really emphasize with folks who are really serious about cleaning up their environment so that they can live more focused and productive lives is to really start small. And some people really start at the opposite end, and they start really big, and they get really jazzed and motivated. They hear me or they hear somebody else talk about it, and they read an article or whatever, and then they go home and start tearing apart a 3-car garage. That's not the place to start.
Uh-huh.
The place to start is small, like in your wallet, in a junk drawer, a medicine cabinet shelf, just somewhere where you can start to see some progress and reward yourself for making headway and taking back control of your life, taking back control of the only life you have. So one of my strategies is to the top 10 is to really start small. And you've got to really continually weed, just like a good gardener, if we can kind of think of the metaphor with gardening. We don't let the weeds take over and then just kind of give up.
Mm-hmm.
There's weeding that goes on constantly so that the good things can shine through. And when we don't weed our own stuff, we can't. Everything that we think we're going to keep, we think is special and makes nothing special. So weeding constantly with our stuff. One of my favorites is make a date with your trash man. So I have a quote that says, the best date night of the week is the night before the trash man cometh. So the night before he's going to come, you want to get some gifts for him. So you don't want him to show up and not have anything to pick up at your place. And that's when you go through your home and your home office or an office at work, and you go, okay, what can I let go of here? What can I recycle? What can I release to the universe? And how can I give some gifts to the trash man before he gets here? And I'm a big person on gratitude journals. I think we forget to, thank the gifts that we do have, all these the things that end up cluttering up our house. But they, we either bought them or they were given to us. They were gifts. And each day we should be writing and giving gratitude for the things that we do have, because not everybody has those things. And I'm a big proponent of donating to agencies that you support, not throwing them in the landfill, but finding an agency you support. And it could be American Cancer Society, Vietnam Vets, Disabled Vets. There's so many agencies. And once somebody connects with an agency they support, letting go of things you're not using that you don't absolutely love is much easier. And once you start to do that, you start to feel good that, okay, these items still have another chapter. They have another life to live, and they can go on and make somebody else happy. These coats could be used by somebody else. I don't need these 10 coats in a closet. Mm. Someone else could use some of these. And one of my other favorites is just to close the kitchen at night and make the announcement to whoever lives in the house, even if it's just you and the cat, that the kitchen is now closed.
Mm-hmm.
So you clean up everything and scour the sink and make it just shine and announce to the world in the house that the kitchen is now closed, and anyone coming in to make popcorn or ice cream or cookies at midnight, they're responsible for cleaning that up, because then the next day when you come in, you're walking into a clean kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And I have another ebook out that your listeners might enjoy getting, and it's called Make Mornings Magical. And that has about the power of the morning ritual. I don't have that included in my top 10 favorites in the ebook, but it's called Make Mornings Magical.
Mm-hmm.
It's a separate ebook. And if your listeners go to 2020, the number 2020 vision, and then the number 4, mm-hmm. success.com/free gifts. They can get that ebook that you're talking about, The Simple Strategies. They can get Make Mornings Magical, and they can get another ebook on gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have an opportunity, if they'd like to have a breakthrough call with me, one-on-one, free complimentary phone call to kind of unearth what's going on with their stuff or with their life and their purpose.
Well, that's great. Now, how often do you speak?
I used to do a lot of public speaking in the community here in San Diego.
Yeah.
And I've really cut back on that, and so now I'm, because of the coaching, I'm doing more on an invitation to, like, I have a talk this next Friday to a business group of about 12 business associates, and so I do more now on an invitation basis to groups like that, networking groups, rather than community groups.
Okay. All right. Well, so tell us now, you mentioned your latest book, your new book. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. It's called You've Got the Power.
Mm-hmm.
Let me clear my throat so I can take a sip of water.
Okay.
You've got the Power.
Mm-hmm.
It's quick tips to create calm, increase productivity, and transform yourself. And so I've put the book together with 52 chapters, and it's kind of divided into the four seasons of the year. So you can read it, start at any place, but it does start with a January, and then has each season, so to speak, so it's like in four quarters,
right?
Divided up, and different chapters, they're very short, but what they do is they just kind of let you know, like, there's the power of beginnings, the power of intention, the power of engagement, the power of habit, and that's the power of habit is kind of what's in my Make Mornings Magical ebook. The power of releasing, the power of the smart start, and how to have smart start goals. And each section kind of is like the four quarters of the year.
Mm.
But you don't have to read, you don't have to wait a wait each week to read each chapter. You can read the whole book and or start anywhere you want. But they're just kind of short chapters on that everybody has the power to improve the life they're in. They don't have to sit in the woe me and woe is me stage the rest of their life, because we've all had circumstances happen to us.
Yeah.
And it's not what happens to us, it's how we react to it and how we get through it. So the book is really focused on saying to people, you've got the power to take back control of your life. You've got the power to make the decisions. You've got the power to control your time and use it the way that you want. You don't have to be in victim mode, and you've got the power to take back control.
Do you hear back from people who are success stories? Do you have a lot of those success stories? People's lives have changed.
I do. I do stay in contact with folks, and part of my coaching program, I run a group coaching on Thursdays, and one group is the people that are in Clear Your Clutter, and the other group are the high performance clients, and some of them are former clients that are staying in touch. And it's great to hear how they're living their lives, and the reinforcement kind of feeds me and keeps me going, because I live for those successes, because that brings so much joy to me, because I think we're all a work in progress. None of us have it all figured out, but if we can come up with strategies each day to make it's not comparing with other people. It's how can I live tomorrow as a better me than I was today?
Mm.
And that's what it's really all about. It's not, how can I be the best person like my neighbor or, somebody famous. It's how can I be a better me tomorrow than I was today?
And you follow obviously, every day you follow your own tips, correct?
I do. That's what I really loved about putting together the Make Mornings Magical ebook, because it's really been very powerful, that morning ritual that I've been doing for quite some time, and setting the tone for the day. And what I say in that is, win the morning, you win the day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a person that's just running late all the time and chaos in the morning in your house, and you're running out the door and looking for the cell phone and looking for, the important papers you were supposed to carry out the door, the morning ritual ebook is just the book that you need. It's only about 7 or 8 pages. You can just read it on your screen. You can download it if you want and print it out. But I've just found such a change in living my life and bringing more joy and purpose through the morning ritual that it's so powerful. I highly recommend it for everybody.
Okay. All right. Well, Sue, always a pleasure to talk to you. And I really love that you help people feel empowered and feel better about their lives. I think you do important work. And it's just as simple as clearing your clutter. I think it's great.
Oh. Thank you so much, Nick. Yeah. Appreciate it very much.
Okay, so the book is called Clear Your Clutter, 50 Ways to Organize Your Life, Home, or Business so that you can become more calm, focused, and happy. You got the simple strategies for clutter clearing that you can do now, and you get all the information at the website, which is SueCrum.com. That's C-R-U-M, SueCrum.com. Okay, Sue, enjoy your skiing.
All right, yes. I'm going back up there at the end of the month. As soon as they get the roads cleared, It's
kind of
crazy up there.
Of course.
Okay, thanks
course.
So much.
All right,
Nick.
Sue, take care.
Say hi to Chicago for me.
I will. Sue, I think you just did.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, take care. Sue Crum, everybody. She's a fascinating woman. Check out her website if you feel cluttered, if you feel overwhelmed. If you feel disorganized, Sue can help you out, and she does it in very, very simple kind of ways. So check out SueCrum.com. That's C-R-U-M, SueCrum.com. All right, we're going to take a break. We got the news coming up next, and then we're going to talk about some travel stories right here on 720 WGN. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and we're here till 5 a.m. It's Friday, but we're not doing the regular Friday features. Dan Trigger is taking a little time off, and he usually is fully in charge of that. So Ben is kind enough to be sitting in for us. So we're just going to do some regular topics. Coming up later on, we're going to jump into the world of Saturday Night Live and talk about some of the greatest characters that have ever been on that show. And we want to hear from you guys a little later, talking about who your favorite characters from SNL are. We'll get into that. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. We're also going to talk about some travel horror stories and some celebrity travel horror stories. But let me first start out with this is a travel story too. Now, I the TSA agents, I'm sure have to deal with a lot of, I know a lot of people hate going through the TSA line when they're traveling. But I'm sure that the TSA agents have to deal with a lot of stuff. And they put together these items, a list of the craziest items that somebody was trying to get, people were trying to get through onto the plane. And so it says, feel guilty when TSA screeners pull out that bottle of water or Costco-sized lotion that you forgot was in your carry-on bag. It could be worse. Your forbidden item could be immortalized in the TSA's annual list of the most unusual finds of the year. This is separate from its roundup of routine catches like guns, loaded and unloaded, which were found in record numbers last year. This year's top 10 is pretty amazing. So these are the weirdest items that, and I'm looking at the website. This is on the USA Today website, and the pictures of these things are hilarious. some of the stuff is hilarious. So number one, which was found at the Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport in Georgia. And it is a full-on razor glove replica of Freddy Krueger's glove. This is someone trying to get that on the plane. First of all, look, I go to the I'm one of the hosts at the Flashback Horror Convention every year, and they have a costume contest over that weekend. Every Saturday afternoon, there's a costume contest, which, by the way, our good friend Sven Gulli is always the host of. And so I've seen guys walking around with these things at the convention. You know, people get all cosplay, they get all dressed up. A lot of Freddies, a lot of Freddies show up at this convention. So that's expected. Maybe this guy was flying out of Georgia to a convention someplace, but you can't. I mean, this is full on metal. I'm looking at it. Looking at the picture, this is directly from the airport in Georgia, and it looks it looks like whoever did this, by the way, this job replicating Freddy Krueger's glove, did a really good job, like a frighteningly good job. But you can't bring that on a plane, you know. So anyway, they say, and I love the fact that they save these things to TSA. I mean, it shows that these guys have like a sense of humor. TSA agents. And of course, you know, the only time the TSA has been, TSA agents have been shown in a really good light, Ben, Get Out. That's the only time a TSA agent has been in the movie Get Out, has been shown in a really great light. I think that movie did a lot for TSA agents. Okay, how about this? This is out of Evansville Regional Airport, our neighbor here in Indiana. And it is an inert mortar round. So it's like it looks like a World War II mortar round.
Get out
mortar
of here.
Round. I'm not kidding. And it's huge. It's like, it's really big.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those things are, like several pounds.
Right. Why would somebody bring this and expect to get on an airplane with it? I mean, it's inert, so that's one thing. But still, look at the size of this thing.
It's a
mortar round.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, inert or not,
right?
What are you doing?
It's a mortar round. I'm gonna, honey, don't forget to pack my mortar round that I must bring with me at all times.
Did they think TSA was going to mistake it for something else?
I don't. You can't mistake it for anything else. I'm looking at it right now. It's a mortar round.
This is my my smoking stack, my cigarette ashtray.
Yeah.
For
here's somebody. What the comment about this is: some travelers are extremely cautious about what they pack, while others lob inert mortar rounds in their bag. This inert mortar round was discovered to be in a checked bag at the Evansville Regional Airport. While packing items like this can ruin your day, you can also make it pretty bad on your fellow travelers. Inert ordnance can lead to costly evacuations, delays, missed flights, while explosives professionals determine whether or not the item is inert or actually alive. These items can also lead to hefty fines and arrest. So leave your mortar rounds at home. Okay, how about this? Giant scissors. This is in Nashville International Airport in Tennessee. Giant scissors. There's a picture of a person holding these things, and they're like 3 feet long. The blades are like 3 feet long. It's a giant pair of scissors.
Okay. Here, and before you said that, I was thinking, all right, maybe they're ceremonial ribbon cutting ceremonial.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean that's the size of them. They're like that big. It's like that big. It's all like the giant scissors that you would use, in fact, to cut ribbons. Why do you? this just cracks me up. And by the way, if you want to see the visuals here, it's at usatoday.com. I think if you just go to usatoday.com and type in top 10 TSA fines, you get to see the pictures because they're pretty great. They're pretty great. All right. How about this? Out of Newark, in New Jersey, Newark Liberty International, tuxedo grenades. So
tuxedo grenades.
These are black grenades. They're with the pin in and everything.
Uh-huh.
They're grenades that have like a tuxedo jacket painted on them.
Okay.
So it looks like the top of the. What they're going for here is the top of the grenade where the clip is.
Yeah.
That looks like they want. I guess they want to make that look like a head, and then it's wearing a tuxedo body. So, and it's the picture here is hilarious too, because the picture has these two tuxedo grenades, they clearly were pulled out because there's a hairbrush and a towel behind them. So this was a couple of normal items in the background to show what people normally bring in on a carry on, but then all of a sudden there's a couple of tuxedo grenades.
Yeah, this just. All new meaning to the. I'm classy, but I like to party. Yeah.
Here's what it says: We know it didn't go down that way, but we'd all like to imagine that the groom lobbed these inert, well-dressed grenades over his shoulder to the groomsmen, just as bouquets are tossed to bridesmaids. We could see a conversation going something like this: Chad, I was so close to catching one, bruh. Randy, whatever, Chad. Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. Oh wait, and then Randy and Chad laugh. That's funny, bruh. Anyway, back to the real world. These clapper inert grenades were wedding gifts for groomsmen. They were discovered in a checked bag at the Newark Liberty Airport. When our officers spot a potential explosive on the monitor, they cannot just open the bag and take a look-see to find out if it's real or not. A TSA explosive specialist or police department bomb squad must respond before the bag is ever opened. This can lead to evacuations, again, delays, missed flights. These types of items can also lead to hefty fines and arrests. Contact your preferred shipper about your options because they can't travel via commercial aircraft. Even though they aren't real, they cause a lot of headaches. Once again, even if it's inert, don't bring it. You're going to cause all kinds of problems at the airport. All right. We're going to lead into travel horror stories, so I would love to hear from you guys. I've got more of these ridiculous items that the TSA agents found at different airports around the world. But I want to hear from you guys about your travel nightmare stories. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We'll break and come back with more. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. It's Friday. We're not doing any of the regular Friday features. We'll bring those back next week. Dan Shiger's taking some time off, and he's usually the one who handles all of that stuff. So Ben has been filling in for him this week, and we are happy that he has been. We're here till 5. Coming up, we are going to be talking about, and it's going to be a fun conversation. I can't wait. We're going to be talking about some of the best characters in SNL history. And there have been so many memorables, so many funny ones, so many great cast members that, and we can reminisce about some of those really hilarious sketches featuring those memorable characters. But before that, we're going to be talking about travel horror stories. We've got a few celebrity travel horror stories, but right now, I'm going through this list, the top 10 list of things that have been found by TSA agents at airports from people trying to get some of these things on a plane, and they took pictures of them, and there's a story behind probably all of them. But let's go back now. Here's one out of O'Hare, Ben. This came out of O'Hare, and it's a fake bomb.
Oh, man.
So it's made to look like it's got the sticks of the fake bomb. That's how stupid is that? And I'm assuming this person was arrested, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
So a fake bomb, and that was at O'Hare. Out of LaGuardia, there was a concealed knife. So maybe it was in his right boot. now, how about this one? It looks like a computer hard drive. Okay, it's like set up like a computer, like a kind of an old school computer hard drive. Okay, they removed the lid. This is Miami, by the way. So of course, Florida, ladies and gentlemen, Florida.
Oh yeah.
So they removed the lid because they thought something was a little weird about it. They removed the lid, and I'm not kidding you. In like a brown bag, a live snake. So it literally would have been snakes on a plane. It literally would have been snakes on a plane. But somebody tried to smuggle a live snake in. It's like in a burlap sort of bag. You can see the snake through the bag, and they hid it in the facade of a computer hard drive. So,
wow,
that's when you need Samuel L. Jackson right there.
Yeah,
it says Agent Neville Flynn would be extremely proud. That of course is the character that Samuel Jackson played. That boy, that's a deep reference right there. Who the hell remembers the name of the character that Samuel Jackson played in Snakes on a Plane? Anyway, would be extremely proud of our officers at the Miami International Airport. You see, Agent Flynn has had it with these snakes on the plane, but our officers prevented a young ball python from frying the friendly skies this past Sunday. That's a while ago. A traveler on her way to Grantley Adams International Airport in Barbados attempted to smuggle the snakelet inside an external hard drive packed in her checked bag. If you think airport seats can be can feel constricting, imagine how this little guy felt. Hold on a minute. Wait a minute. Constricting, see? Get it? Airport seats are constricting. Boy, oh boy. Talk about bad memories if you're on the plane. While the python itself posed no danger to anyone on the aircraft, an organic item concealed inside electronics raises security concerns, which is why our officers took a closer look. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service was notified. They responded and took possession of the snake and sighted the traveler. Both the traveler and the snake missed their flight. It was in a nylon stocking, by the way. That's what they packed it in. It was in a nylon stocking. So they also, there have been reports about people trying to sneak cats on in their luggage, which, of course, I mean, and now, can't they just say that it's a comfort? What do they call the animals now that you can take on a plane? Comfort? What is it? What are they called?
It's
a comfort animal. What are they? Oh man, now I can't remember the term. But that's the excuse now. They have to have their animal with them because it makes them feel relaxed or comfortable. So let's see. How about this? A saw blade glove.
Oh, emotional support.
That's it.
Animals.
Emotional support animal.
That was going to drive me nuts the rest
emotional
of the show.
Emotional support animal. That's right. Emotional support animal. I'm sure somebody would have texted in. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
So a saw blade glove was discovered at Denver International Airport. Oh, wait, we got someone who wants to talk about a story here, a travel horror story. We'll get back to some of the TSA stuff. But here's Elizabeth on WGN. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Nick. I had a 40-year layover I didn't want to go flying because of an unfortunate incident that happened. So my husband and I were taking the train for Christmas to California, uh-huh. which is the city of Los Angeles. Of course, there was a huge snowfall in the mountains when we hit California, and evidently they didn't clear the tracks. And the train got stalled there for 6.5 hours. Mm. And since it was at the end of the trip, they were out of food, and we were getting cold. You know what the name of the place was?
What was it?
Donner Pass.
Oh, that's not good.
No. So after that, I didn't travel during the winter at all. I limited myself. But just so you know, there are horror stories on the train as well as in
the
air.
That's right. Okay. Thank you, Elizabeth.
You're welcome.
Okay. There you go. Donner Pass. You didn't want to be stuck in the snow at Donner Pass. You don't want to do that. That's not something you want to do right there. Just start eating your neighbors at that point. All right. Hobby Airport in Houston. That's the name of the airport in Houston? Hobby? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Somebody tried to get a spear gun on. And if the picture, it's a big crazy spear gun. This spear gun was discovered recently in Houston's traveler's carry-on bag. Maybe he was heading to Amity Island for the 4th. What is that? There's a lot of deep references here. Snakes on a plane, Jaws reference right there. In case you were wondering, spear guns with or without spears are not allowed in carry-on bags. You can pack them in checked bags as long as they're not loaded. If you're traveling to Amity Island, you're going to need a bigger plane. What? Well, who wrote this stuff?
All right.
Wow, wacky. And then finally, this out of O'Hare. Once again, out of O'Hare. And I'm looking at a picture of it. It's an ice axe.
Like for like climbing?
Yeah, but a big axe, and it's got like a skull. It looks like the logo for the Punisher.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like that is on the side of the ice axe.
I mean, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, no, it's cool. You just can't bring it on a plane.
Yeah.
So, then that was out of O'Hare. So, there you go. Those are some of the things that people were trying to get on a plane, and it didn't work. So, okay, we're going to take a break here for the news, and when we come back, we've got some travel horror stories, and we would love to hear from you. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we'll talk more. And we want to get you guys on here talking about some travel nightmare stories. 312-981-7200. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here, live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We are here till 5 a.m. It's Friday, and it's been a fun week. And, yeah. So coming up, we're going to be talking about Saturday Night Live and the greatest characters in Saturday Night Live history. And that's going to be fun to reminisce about that. The show's been on since 1975 and has had so many cast members, and a lot of those cast members do multiple characters and impersonations, and we're going to talk about our favorites. So get ready to do that. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Right now, though, we're talking about travel horror stories, and if you have some, we would love to hear from you. We were just talking about these ridiculous items that people were trying to get on a plane that the TSA had to confiscate. And including a snake, which would have made Samuel L. Jackson very angry. So, but now we want to talk about some horror stories, travel horror stories. I have some here from the internet here. When bad directions attack, how about this? So my sense of direction is pretty horrific, the story says. And there was a time I was in a very remote part of Austria and wanted to go meet up with some friends at the lake. I grabbed a bike, set off, map in hand. All was going well until I realized I was in a really, really remote part of the town, and pretty soon realized that I was also on an incline. My poor sense of direction and my infantile relationship with maps inadvertently led me up a mountain. It was 2.5 hours into my voyage, oh my God, and there was no sign of any life around me. The noises got stranger, and there was definitely no lake in sight. I looked at my map wondering how it could deceive me and where our relationship took the wrong turn. Oh, my God. What is going on?
All right.
Is it pun morning? Is it? What is it? Is there... then I turned around and boom, got a flat tire. It was getting darker. I was really nervous. And at any moment, at any moment now, something was going to jump out and eat me alive, because of logic. I eventually stopped caring that my bike will collapse on me and start riding it down the very rocky trail at a very fast pace, just hoping to get out of there as fast as possible. Safety hazard, absolutely. But again, logic. Several minutes later, I finally see a highway, so I get back to a known trail, and just a few kilometers up, I see the sign where I missed my turn for the lake. After my two-hour detour, I had no desire to be near anything wet, as I was already soaked from exhaustion. So tried to get reception to call and see if anyone could pick me up. Eventually, I was able to track down some elderly Austrian men who could see my dilemma, and they gave me their phone and a large pint of Austrian beer to save the day. Ben, you ever have any travel horror stories?
I've had one or two moments.
Yeah.
I used to travel a lot. On one trip down to Texas, it was a combined, I was down there for some work stuff. This is back when I was still coaching gymnastics.
Mm-hmm.
And I was down there for the national high school competition as one of Team Illinois' coaches. And my sister lived down there, so I went down and stayed the week. And when it was time for me to come back, there was a bomb scare at the airport while I was there. So I had to call my sister to have her come back, pick me up.
Oh.
And I was stuck there another day. Somebody had just left their bag, the terminal. But they had some, weird wires or something that just, hung out of the open zipper.
Yeah.
So it created a panic, and everybody was delayed by a day because of it.
You sure it wasn't someone trying to sneak in a mortar?
Yeah, right.
That goes back to what we were talking about, man. Wow, that's pretty scary, though. You're in an airport with a bomb scare. That's pretty scary.
Yeah,
that's scary stuff. That'll put a monkey wrench in your travels, right there, man. Wow, you coached gymnastics?
For quite some time.
Really? How did you get into that? Did you gymnastics?
I was a gymnast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you went into you coached at what, a high school level?
I coached on a lot of levels.
Oh, did you?
I've coached club gymnastics all the way up through the national level.
Mm-hmm.
Coached high school. I've coached all the way down to kindergarten classes here.
Wow!
And there. But
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but almost a little over a decade coaching high school alone.
Wow!
So
wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this: you ever seen the movie Gymkata?
Oh yeah. I have it on DVD.
Well, you need to know that movie, the title of that movie pops up a lot during this show.
Oh, fantastic.
Because we have a listener named Brian.
Okay.
Who is obsessed with Gymkata. And whenever we talk movies, no matter what the topic is, if we're talking, best supporting performance, he will text in whatever the actor who played the villain in Gymkata. So everything is related to Gymkata. He actually sent me a copy of it on DVD, and the reason it's one of the worst movies ever made, and it's hilarious. But the reason is because my friends and I went to see it when it came out. It came out in 1985, and my friends and I went immediately because the poster was so hilarious. It was the tagline on the poster was like the kill of karate, the skill of gymnastics, the kill of karate.
Yeah, I think that
was Kurt Thomas in it, and so when we went to see the movie, I'm telling you, I don't know. My friends and I, we laughed our asses off during that movie. We thought it was unbelievably funny. I love the fact that in that village, that there's a stone pummel horse that just happens to be in the town square. Yep. And that at one point, he's actually, I mean, we didn't see it, but he's all chalked up. Like, his hands are all chalked up. It's like, what? But I mean, that's a classic. It's a classic terrible movie. And that, you know, when, since you said you were, now is that a, is that like now you, since you are, you know, you, you are in gymnastics, is is Gymkhana a thing with gymnastic, with gymnasts?
Not really.
Oh, it's not. No. Like it's, so it's not like, you know, like it's not like hockey players watch Slapshot all the time.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, like
I'm just saying,
oh yeah, people, as far as watching movies from the sport, oh yeah. And if we're going on that topic, American Anthem.
I mean, my God.
Come on.
Well, first of all, Janet Jones is a babe. That's yeah. Mrs. Wayne Gretzky. that movie's ridiculous. Now let me ask you a question. The gymnastic scenes in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a gymnastic expert at all. You know, by any stretch of the imagination. But do they allow that many flash bulbs to go off while people are flipping around? I was so distracted. I'm like, wait a minute, you can't take
back then it was a thing. Now not so much.
Yeah.
With our digital, you know, age.
Yeah, but still. But I mean, wouldn't that, like, if you're trying to do like a flip and all of a sudden flashing bulbs in your eyes?
I say it depends on the level. Once you get to a certain level of competition and skill ability, I mean, you just zone it out.
Oh, okay. All right. Because when I was watching that movie, I was like, man, that's a lot of flashbulbs.
Yeah.
And I know it looked visually slick. That's why they did it. But, yeah, anyway, so American Anthem. I've seen both those movies.
Come on. Let's go swing high bar between trees in the rain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. My God. all right. Well, I didn't know that you were
our boss Steph keeps trying to get me to flip in the office. She keeps asking me to do it.
Of course she does.
Uh-huh.
All right. How about this? Nightmare at check-in. Well, this seems to be a common theme. I was traveling to Spain with my ex-boyfriend, and we were connecting in some small Spanish airport to get to an even smaller city we were going to for a comics convention. We were guests of the comics convention. I always use my iPhone for boarding passes, but after running full throttle through this tiny Spanish airport to get to the gate for our tiny plane, they wouldn't let me through because it wasn't a real boarding pass, quote unquote. So we stood there and quite literally watched our plane fly away as the gate person just stared at us. Then we got screwed around with for about 3 hours trying to figure out when the next flight was. I swear that they were doing this on purpose. We had to walk back and forth from kiosk to kiosk multiple times. And at this point, I hadn't slept in about 20 hours, and I was trying hard not to go all bitchy American. Finally, we managed to get new boarding passes, but our flight wasn't for 6 hours. So we met an English gentleman, and we got wasted at 11 a.m. Oh, man. God, can you imagine that? Stuck there for 6 hours. Over 6 hours. How about this? The friendly stranger. These are our real stories that were posted. I was 18, and it was my first time traveling alone. I went to Argentina for 3 months. My first weekend, and I'm wandering around Buenos Aires. At the time, I knew enough Spanish to get by, and a man approaches me and asks me for directions in Spanish. I tell him that I'm not from here. Then he asks if I'm a tourist. I said yes, and he seemed delighted, quickly telling me that he is too. He offers up the idea to explore the city together. I alone in the big city agree. We start walking together, and he seems to be a really nice guy. After about an hour, he says, "Tengo hambre," I'm hungry. I hadn't eaten since breakfast, and it was about 1, so we went to a nice restaurant. He tells me I have to try the steaks and red wine. I'm not much of a wine fan, but he convinced me. We are there about an hour, and the bill comes, and it's 140 pesos. He pulls out 100 pesos. I try to pay for my half, but he only lets me pay for 40 pesos. He tells me I can get the beers later. We continue on our little adventure, and eventually we come to a bar with an outdoor seat. With outdoor seating, the waitress brings out a liter of beer, and we relax. Soon enough, another liter comes out. We finish the second liter and leave the bar. Then I wake up 8 hours later, missing my debit card, my iPhone, my cell phone, and my iPod, my cell phone, and my travel guide. Oh, man. Yeah, nice guy. Let's get this guy drunk and steal everything. So, there you go. All right. How about this? An American tourist in Paris, and only Paris, woman ponders the virtues of being stranded in the city of love. So last summer, I went on a little petite Euro trip of Western Europe with two friends of mine. Our first destination was Paris, and our last night there, we spent the night drinking at the Garden of Tuileries in our with our Irish hostel mates. We end up getting pretty blasted, and my friend becomes unattached from his bag for about 2 minutes. After these 2 minutes, he realizes he put the bag down. He rushes back to where we were to grab it, and only to realize that it was gone, completely gone. Along with the 250 euro he just extracted from an ATM, his debit card, his passport, his Eurail pass, and pretty much everything else important in his life at that time. Again, this was the night before we had to hop on a train to Amsterdam. We ended up having to stay a couple of extra days to help to try to recover the damage, etc. Of course, this turns out to be July 4th weekend as well, meaning the U.S. Embassy wouldn't be open until the following Tuesday. I believe it was a Friday night when this event occurred. In the end, it was cheaper to for him to stay in Paris and have us complete the Euro trip than him to come along with us. Plus, it would take him another 2 weeks to get another passport reissued. That's terrible. I understand that this is interesting, that these nightmare travel stories that are that were taken here from Line, there's a lot of drinking involved in these terror stories. Maybe some lessons are going to be learned about imbibing while you're in a foreign place. So, all right, we'll take a break here, and I would like to hear from you guys. Talk or text 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for your nightmare travel stories. We've got a few more from the internet, and I'd love to hear from you. So we'll take a break here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. We're going to be talking about the best characters ever on Saturday Night Live, our favorite SNL characters. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. But right now we're talking about some travel nightmare stories. And we'd love to hear from you. Here's Steve on WGN. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I have a story. We, my wife and I, we, anticipating our honeymoon, we booked a trip to Key West, and we had, at the time, we had, one free travel for, I forget what airline it was, and stuff. So we're like, all right. So we booked it, and it was originally booked for a direct flight from Midway to Miami, and then we were just going to drive down to Key West. And we're supposed to show up. We're supposed to land, I think, around like 11 in the morning in Miami. Like, sweet, we have a whole day before the rest of our trip and stuff. And we get to Midway early, did all the booking stuff. We're waiting for our flight, the next flight. And one lands at our terminal. I said, well, that must be the next flight. Well, I had never flown before. It was my first time flying, but my wife had flown. And I go, well, that's weird. She goes, I go, well, there's something leaking by the landing gear. And she goes, what? She goes, oh, maybe that was just there before. Well, then we weren't getting booked yet, not getting boarded. It was like an hour later. They said, oh, we have a small mechanical problem. I'm like, okay. Well, come to find out the power steering fluid was leaking from the landing gear. So they said, it's going to be another hour or two. We're going to get it fixed. Okay. So we're waiting. They gave us food vouchers. So we get back, and they go, well, actually, we have to get a new part for it, but we don't have the part because their main hub was from Atlanta. Ugh. So we had to wait for the next flight from Atlanta with the part to fix it to come. Well, it ended up being like 8 hours or something. We had to wait. So then they finally do it. They get it fixed. We fly. Well, what was originally supposed to be a direct flight, we had to get a connecting flight through the time we booked it changed. Well, we just missed our connecting flight in Atlanta after all that got fixed. So then we still had another 4-hour delay in Atlanta. We get our flight ready. All of a sudden, a huge thunderstorm over the Gulf came in when we took off from Atlanta, so we threw it through a thunderstorm on a booked flight all the way to Miami. We landed in Miami at like 11 at night or midnight, and it still had to drive down to Key Largo from Miami. So we didn't get to our hotel till like 2 in the morning.
Wow.
when we were supposed to initially be there like at 11 in the morning.
Yeah.
The day before.
Right.
So it was, we're like, huh, well, this is great. That was in my wife's life. So how was your first time flying? I said, well, it would have been a lot better.
Yeah. But that's really jumping into the deep end for your first time flying, man. Oh man.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable. Wow. But did you have fun while you were in Florida?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
In fact, after that, it was nice all week, and then another storm came as we left, and we missed the whole time we were there. We didn't have any of the bad weather, but then, and we just flew back right before that other storm came through, which ended up being a tropical storm. So
oh my God.
Like, all right, well, that's it. Yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's a crazy story. Steve, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Take care. Here's Jill on WGN. Hi, Jill.
Hi. I just have terrible luck with luggage. You know, they used to have the guarantee of the luggage, like your luggage will last longer than the memories, right?
Right.
And so year after year, my sister and I used to go to see the Cubs in Mesa. And we had this old luggage that was the hard shell one from the like 70s. And I remember it flying off the they used to have, at Sky Harbor, they used to have a ramp that would fly off of the luggage would fly down and it would land on the belt. Well, mine landed on the belt and opened.
Oh, no.
So my sister and I'm trying to put all my clothes and everything back on the belt, back in the suitcase while the belt is still going. It was a Lucy moment. And then I always had trouble where, you know, like, a wheel will fall off, so I've got to return my luggage.
Yeah.
Or, it gets slashed. But the best was when I was going to England, I had this big suitcase because I was going for a month, and we're flying from Chicago to St. Louis, then flew St. Louis straight there. And the plane pulls starts taxiing, and they said, oh, sorry, the luggage thing opened up, we've got to go back. And everyone on my flight was like, it's got to be your luggage. And sure enough, when I got to Heathrow, my luggage, my suitcase was all scraped up, and it had the pink de-icer on it. And so,
oh, man.
It's just funny. It's not nightmarish, but I've probably replaced like 10 suitcases over the years. It's just funny.
That's unbelievable. Wow. Bad case with bad luck with luggage. That's amazing.
Yep.
All right, Jill, thanks for the call.
Sure, bye.
Okay, take care. Big text here. Brian texts in, all hail Gymkhata. Now, I knew it wouldn't take long for Brian to respond to any mention of Gymkhata on the show. 815 area code says, we met my very easygoing sister at the airport and asked the standard question, how was the flight? She replied, fine. Oh, except the knife in my backpack. She had grabbed the backpack my other sister had used camping and didn't know it, and didn't even know it was even on in her carry-on. So it was like not trying to smuggle a knife in. I'm not good at flying, Ben. I hate flying. I'm terrified of flying. And so I'm not, I mean, yeah, I haven't been on a plane since I went to Ireland about 9 years ago. That was the last time I was on a plane.
Ah.
But I've had some questionable moments on planes. So
see, and so you're going to learn so much about me this week and next, I think. I have a background in aviation.
Yeah, we talked about that because of about when we did the tribute to Bobby, mm-hmm. Uncle Bobby.
Yeah.
We talked about that. Yeah, yeah, no, me, no, not good. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We've got a few more of these stories to talk about, and then we're going to talk about SNL, the greatest characters in the history of the show. The news is coming up after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, Steve Cochran at 6. It's Friday morning here. We're not doing any of the regular Friday features. We'll bring those back next week. Dan Shagrew's taking some time off, and he is the one that that handles all of that stuff. So we'll do it next. We'll be back with that next Friday. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the best characters ever on Saturday Night Live, and there are so many of them. We're going to have a blast talking about that. But now we're talking about travel nightmare stories. And Vic, you said at the top that you did have one. Would you like to share?
Yeah, it's the one that popped in my head, so I'll go with it.
All right.
And I think it's hands down, you know, worst experience I've had with a travel. But I was trying to come up with one just on commercial air, travel, but this involves military as well.
Okay.
So I had orders. I was young. I think I was still a teenager. I was in the Air Force, fresh out of basic training, and I had orders to go to from the base I was stationed at in Okinawa to South Korea. And I flew. The plan was just to get on a military plane from our base, fly there. Well, I fell asleep. They were jump seats, too. This wasn't a commercial airline. This was a military. It was a C-141, I think they called it. It's been a long time.
Okay.
And I fell asleep. I wake up, and the guy is in his best flight attendant voice, is a military guy, saying, "Well, thanks for flying with the Air Force today. Our number 3 engine went out during the flight, and we are not in South Korea. You're waking up in Tokyo." And
man.
And they weren't going anywhere. They're flight crew members of this plane. They're going to be stuck in Tokyo. It's a little west of Tokyo, Air Base Yokota. They're stuck there for a few days, probably. And so I had orders. I had they were in my front pocket of my uniform. I had orders. And so I went to the airport in Tokyo with these orders. And, you know, after calling my base, and they said, "You should be able to get on a flight with those orders." I did. Mm-hmm. I got on a commercial flight, and I ended up getting to South Korea. But I was real close to What's this big city up there close to the DMZ in South Korea? Major city. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I ended up there. Well, I needed to get to the bottom of South Korea, where there's a little tiny American compound. It's not even a base. It's called Gwangju.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no way to get there. And so it ended up being like a planes, trains, and automobile type of a situation, including a bus ride, money out of my own pocket that I paid for. I ended up hitching a ride with some Americans because there's three bases there.
Yeah.
They're kind of one near the DMZ and one a little further down, and then the one way at the bottom.
Yeah.
There's probably more, but those are the ones I knew of. And so I got on a bus at one point, and that was crazy. There were some very thin roads that we were on with, like, no room for error. And then there was I hitched a ride with some Marines who had a pickup truck, and they were going in the direction I needed to go. So I hitched a ride with them, got on a train after that. I mean, it was incredible.
That's crazy.
And the funny thing is, not the funny thing, but it was really disturbing for my family because my parents didn't know where I was the entire time, and that wasn't supposed to happen that way. But I had called my base when I landed in Tokyo and told them, "Hey, I'm not in Korea, I'm in Tokyo, and so can you please get a message, you know, to my family, let them know." Well, the guy that took the phone call didn't pass that message on, not only to my family, he didn't pass it on to anyone else at my base.
That's crazy.
So he goes home. Nobody knew where I was.
Oh.
And so,
and
so my mom got a call from my sergeant, and he was telling him, "We're not sure where your son is, but I don't want you to worry. I'm sure it's just a misunderstanding." So for like 3 days, they didn't know where I was.
That's insane.
It was insane.
Wow. Yeah. That's a hell of a story, Vic.
It was a hell of a time.
I mean, because when I asked you if you ever had any travel nightmares, you went, "I don't know. Let me." Oh,
bam.
That would have been the first one I thought of.
Well, I mean, geez, it was 30 years ago.
Man, that's crazy. Wow.
Crazy trip.
Yeah. That is truly planes, trains, and automobiles, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you go. Vic had a great story there. Unbelievable. All right. Let's go back to some nightmare stories and travel stories here. Let's talk to Jerry on WGN. Hi, Jerry.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
We had a vacation. We were going on a cruise ship in Rome. And we had our neighbors threw us a good going away party, And the plane was an hour and 50, hour and a half late leaving O'Hare. So by the time we got to New York, where we were supposed to catch a plane to go to Rome, we missed our plane.
Ugh.
So now we're trying to get another plane or something. Planes only leave every at night to get over there. And my wife was on oxygen, so they had to have oxygen a tank on the ship. And they wouldn't put the oxygen tank on the ship unless she was there to sign for it. I said, well, let the doctor will sign for it. No, that's not good enough. She has to sign for it.
Oh, man.
So we couldn't catch a cruise ship on the next port. So we had to turn around and come back home again. We missed our whole vacation.
Oh.
And the neighbors see us. They just send us off, come back the next day, and they figure, what the hell happened?
Whoa, that's unbelievable, Jerry.
But I was in Norfolk one time. I was in the Navy. PBY, and the hydraulic system went out on the landing gears.
Oh,
so they dropped their gears, but they didn't. They had some bar they stuck out, and they tried to lock them, They didn't know if the lock was going to work or not. So we have no seats in that plane. We just had to sit up against the bulkheads, they said. So we all had to find some place to sit up against, and they had to. Pie wagons or ambulances sitting all lined up when we landed.
Oh, man.
We were going to land it up. And it did. It landed okay. And I asked the pilot, I said, you ever have trouble like this? He said, yeah, this plane has a long history of bad hydraulics. For Christ's sake, why don't they fix the damn thing? But anyhow, it was really...
It's all right, Jerry. I'm glad you're, okay, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, take care. Why the hell don't they fix the damn thing? Yeah, this plane's had a history with problems with its hydraulics. Oh, yeah, thanks. That's the best response. For Christ's sake, why don't they fix the damn thing?
There's a reason why they call us GIs. It's government issued. They own your button.
Oh, that's funny.
That will be a story I share with all the folks I work with up at the air show. Because I work with all the antique, the ex-military aircraft. Vic and I have talked about this. But I run the flight line operations for all the World War II and Korean era aircraft.
That's cool. Yeah. Wow.
And you hear stories like that all the time. But definitely one of the better responses I've heard.
I'll tell you really quickly. I've told this story on the air before. I'm not good on planes. I'm really not good. And back when I was a drinking man, I would have to get pretty sloshed in order to be any kind of relaxed on the plane.
Liquid courage.
Yeah, exactly. I would definitely have the booze in order to get me through the plane. So, I go to New York with my girlfriend. We go and we spend like 4 or 5 days there. And, we have a really great time. And the flight there was fine, flew out of Midway and, it was a straight flight out into LaGuardia and it was fine. Everything was fine. I was nervous, obviously. I was not happy on the plane, but it was fine. So she was staying on to go upstate New York to go snowboarding and, skiing with her brother and one of her friends. To meet them up there. So she was going to spend a few more days in New York. So I had to fly back by myself. And it was a night flight. And I get to LaGuardia. And I'm nervous already. So I go to the airport bar and I start drinking. And I have a few cocktails. And then I go in and they're like, okay. Everybody board the... We're going to board the flight. We get on the flight. And all of a sudden, we take off. And I hate the takeoff and the landing. Those are the two. I mean, that's obviously, for me, the worst part of the flight is the taking off and the landing.
Mine too. Mine's more because I can't control it. Somebody that, is a pilot, it's that whole, when you're sitting in the passenger seat while somebody else is driving, and you don't have a brake to hit.
You probably know this more than I do. Statistically, most accidents happen during the takeoff or the landing. So that, of course, that stat is tattooed in my brain because I'm not. So we take off and I'm like, oh God. Finally, we get up, and we're up and it's quiet for a little while. And so now, I think I can kind of relax and I'm still a little nervous. And all of a sudden, a few minutes go by. We're not at cruising altitude yet, but we're up. And all of a sudden the captain comes on. This is exactly what he says over the PA. This is exactly what he says. Attention, ladies and gentlemen. There's a problem with the plane. That's exactly what he says. And I went, what the hell? And he goes, we are going to have to turn around and land back at LaGuardia. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And he goes, we're having trouble pressurizing the cabin. So they couldn't pressurize the cabin. Yeah. So he says, we have a problem pressurizing the cabin. Now I'm thinking to myself, all right, this is going to be like Scanners. Everybody's heads are going to explode. and I'm going to die on this flight. My head's going to pop out of my head. You know, my eyes are going to pop out of my head. So we turn around. Now we have to land again. Okay, my second worst part. So we land, and I'm freaking out. We land. Everybody says deplane, and we get off, and they're like, well, we're going to inspect the plane, blah, blah, blah. And so, like, about an hour and a half go by, and this was, I didn't have a cell phone at this time, and I had someone picking me up at the airport. So I couldn't call, so I used a payphone in New York, and I was like, hey, listen, I called my friend's wife, and I was like, is he already gone? And she's like, yeah, he's at the airport. And I'm like, tell him I'm sorry, but I'm going to be late. So, but an hour and a half goes by, and then they make the announcement, oh, yeah, we fixed the problem. It's okay. Now everybody get back on the plane. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not getting back on this plane. I want a new plane. I don't want a plane where my head's going to explode. I want a new plane. And so everybody gets back on. And the funny thing is that, you know, my first thought is we're going to die. I'm terrified. Oh, my God. Everybody else, they were all seasoned travelers, like business people. They were just pissed. They were just mad at the inconvenience. Yep. You know what I mean? Yep. They were just like, oh, man. And I'm thinking, what are you're not even concerned? They're just like, I'm going to miss a meeting. You know, they were mad about that stuff. I was upset because I thought we were all going to die. But these are the people that travel all the time, you know?
Yep.
And it's like nothing to them. So get back on the plane, and we take off. Now I'm a nervous wreck. And every time I sit, if I go on a plane and I got a window seat, the shade is down. I will not look outside. I won't, you know. So the shade's down, and I'm sitting there, and I'm white-knuckling it as we take off. We get up, and he's like, everything is fine. The cabin, he makes the announcement, the cabin is pressurized, everything is fine. Because of the inconvenience, we will now have an open bar. And I went, Now we're talking.
All right.
So I booze it up for the whole trip. You know, it's a two-hour flight back to Chicago, and I booze it up. And by the end of the flight, I had the shade up. I was looking out the window. I'm like, this is great, man. And I got off the plane, got my bags, and I jumped in a cab, and I went straight to Simon's. I didn't even go home. I went straight to Simon's bar because I lived in Andersonville at the time. Okay. Went straight to Simon's. So that was my little thrilling plane ride. Nice. And I was so upset because I was by myself. Like, I couldn't. I was even more scared because I was by myself. I'm such a wimp on planes, I swear. So anyway.
And the way you put it, I have a lot of pilot friends that are in the airlines, and that sounds like my buddy Mark.
Oh, yeah.
He
would totally say there's something wrong with the plane.
Well, you would do that, and then he would be the one, drinks on us.
Yeah, no, exactly. That was great. And let me tell you something. The flight attendants were going nuts because everybody was just like, yeah, bring it up.
Yeah. I love Mark. He does some cool things, but like, for instance, the other week while he was on one of his flights, he took a picture from the cockpit of these three B-2 stealth bombers, you know, flying past him. And like, that's just cool.
Yeah.
Because you don't see them.
No. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. All right, we got a break here, and then we'll wrap up this topic. I guess Trucker Rich has got some stuff to talk about travel-wise. Then we'll wrap up the travel nightmares and then jump into SNL characters. That's what we want to hear from you with any of this stuff. 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. After the news, at 3:30, after the news, we are going to talk about the best characters and who were your favorite characters, and that includes impressions and stuff like that, on Saturday Night Live. The show's been on for so many years and has so many cast members, lots of characters to choose from, and we'll go down the list here and talk about our favorites and the best ones. Right now, though, we are telling some funny and some scary travel stories and some travel nightmares. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here is Trucker Rich. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Nick. How you doing tonight?
All right.
You know, back when I was in the Army, we flew out of the Middle East, Cairo, Egypt, to back to Chicago, and we had a layover in Ramstein, I think it was Germany, the Air Force base there. And on the way over, we flew, you know, cargo planes, like Vic knows, that's real comfortable for 14 hours. But on the way home, they put us on a 747, so we thought, oh, great, this is cool. So we land in Germany to refuel and restock, and the family support group had a group of wives there that were selling hot dogs and soft drinks and stuff. And so we're looking out the window, we watch the Coke and a Pepsi truck coming to restock the plane, and it looks like the Daytona 500. And they're racing to get there first, and they sideswipe each other, and the Coke truck forces the Pepsi truck into the bottom of the plane.
Oh, no.
And it rips about a one-foot gash in the bottom of the plane. And we're like, oh, man, now we get getting home. Well, after about 3 hours, here comes these three old guys from the Air Force in a pickup truck with two stepladders and 12 rolls of duct tape in a can of epoxy in a weed burner. And they're standing on this stepladder patching the bottom of a plane with duct tape. And then they spray the epoxy on it, heat it up with a weed burner, another layer of duct tape, more epoxy, weed burner. And we're all like, we're going to get on this thing and go home. And they, you know, the old Air Force guys go, oh, yeah. He says, it's not a pressurized part of the plane. And he says, besides that, we used to patch F-4s that went supersonic in Vietnam with beer cans. You'll be all right.
That is fantastic. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, and all my nightmare flights have been associated with the military,
yeah.
You know. So
yeah.
I can sympathize with Vic.
Yeah, wow. All right.
And one other flight, now, ask Vic if he remembers what a P-38 can opener is.
Mm-hmm.
It's about an inch long, and it's for opening up the old sea ration cans.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah.
They took that away from me at the airport because it was a sharp object. You know, and Vic knows how small they are.
Yeah.
You get, you know, anybody with big hands can really use them to open up tin cans. So
yeah.
Like, wow.
I had to Google it. I forgot what they are, but yep, I know what that is.
Yeah, God. All right, Rich, thanks.
Yep, have a good day.
All right, buddy,
talk
take care.
To you later.
All right, one last one. Here's Kathy on WGN. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I'll try to make it as quick as I can. Back in the 70s, my husband and I, my daughter, and our friends, married couple, another married couple went along, and we decided to rent a motor home, and we were going up into Michigan, following the lake around up into there, Mackinac
right.
Island, and then on to Canada to Niagara Falls. Well, apparently the fellow who was in charge of learning how to use the motor home wasn't really paying very good attention, apparently. We didn't realize that until we got to our first campsite up in Michigan. And apparently, this was a fairly large motorhome, too. I don't remember the sizes of everything, but it was quite large. There was a holding tank for the bathroom and a holding tank for maybe like the kitchen or the shower water, two different entities there.
Right.
And they had to learn how to connect each one as we went to a campsite in Michigan. apparently, he wasn't connecting the toilet one properly, and he got all full of crap,
yeah.
You might say. Came in and got really mad about that,
yeah.
And it was kind of funny at the time. And then we got up there, we got through that, and he never really was connected properly. We got to go to Mackinac Island. We got on a little boat, ferry boat, whatever they're called, and we were on the lower level, and there's like portholes there, open portholes. So the only way to see something, because we were on the bottom level, was to get up and look out a porthole. So I did that, and for whatever reason, a wave came by or the something happened, and a big, like, it was like somebody threw a bucket of water in my face.
Wow.
As I was looking out the porthole. So then we get to Canada, and we're trying, he's apparently, again, trying to make the proper connections to the
yeah.
toilet and the sink, and again, he's all full of crap.
Yeah. Well, okay, Kathy, I got to stop you there because we have to get to the news. But it sounds like it was a nightmare.
Yes.
Okay, take care. Wow. little motorhome trip, getting splashed in the face, getting covered with poo. Wow, that sounds fantastic. All right, we got a break. The news is coming up right after this.
Live from New York, it's Saturday Night!
NBC Saturday Night. Starring the Monopoly for Primetime Players, Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi, Chevy Chase, James Curtin, Garrett Morris, Lorraine Newman, Gilda Radner, with Howard Shore and his all-nurse band.
Wow, this
and
is...
special guest, Peter Boyle, Buck Henry,
76.
Yeah, Paul Simon.
Pretty early on right there.
Lily Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin hosts. Wow. Yeah. There you go. That's Saturday Night Live, which is a show that if you're a regular listener to this show, you know that I watch religiously. I watch it every Saturday, and I have since 1975, since the very first episode. and welcome back, everybody. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 o'clock. Who are your favorite SNL characters? We've had so many great cast members and so many great characters and impressions. What are your favorites? Which ones do you think are the funniest? I've got like a massive list here of the characters that have been a part of Saturday Night Live over the years. But I want to hear from you guys, and we can reminisce about what are the funniest sketches that feature those characters, and who do you really love in character form on SNL? So many to choose from. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. Okay. Ben, first couple that pop into your head.
Oh, gosh. So many.
Yeah.
Two Wild and Crazy Guys.
Yeah, the Wild and Crazy Guys. Yeah. Those are classic. You know, the thing about that is, you know, Steve Martin was on SNL so much in the 70s that people actually thought he was a cast member.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wasn't. I mean, he was a frequent host, especially in the 70s. And he's been back periodically. He's hosted I don't even know how many times he's hosted.
Is it him or Alec Baldwin that have like the record?
I think Alec Baldwin has the record, followed very closely by John Goodman. John Goodman has hosted a ton of times.
Okay.
But Alec Baldwin now, it's weird because he's kind of a cast member now. Because he does Trump for So he appears on almost every show. I mean, if they do something involving Trump, and every week they have to do something involving Trump.
And I never thought about it before, but he's been on there so much more since he started doing the syndicated like TV shows and everything.
And the same thing happened to Tina Fey. Tina Fey during the 2008 election came back as Sarah Palin she had left already. She was doing 30 Rock at that point, but she came back and did the Sarah Palin, which was fantastic.
Yeah,
and really fun.
Awesome.
But yeah, the Wild and Crazy Guys, that's a legendary one. You go back and watch it now, it's, you know, back in those days though, that was really sort of pushing the envelope, like talking about their bulges and their big American breasts and stuff like that. That was like, you know, that was like really, really pushing the boundaries and very risque back in like 70, 75, 76, 77. Mm-hmm. But those are classic characters. No question about it. Vic, do you have anything that pops into your head?
Yeah, one I know, and then one I can't remember the name of. The one that popped into my head, I loved anything Eddie Murphy did on SNL. But when he did James Brown, I always loved that.
James Brown Hot Tub.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's classic.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's classic.
And then the one I can't remember was a Tracy Morgan character when he was a homeless guy, but I can't.
Can't
remember what the name of the homeless
guy was.
Can't
remember the name of the
character
either.
Always cracked me up.
Yeah.
He would run into another actress.
Right, and bring him down into the sewer where he was living.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah. I can't remember. Man, I can't remember the name of that character.
Yeah, and I couldn't find it either. But, that was funny.
Yeah, it was really funny. But if we're talking Tracy Morgan, we can't not mention Brian Fellow.
Thank you.
I mean, my God, that character is hilarious. Now we're going to say hello to a dog. You know, it's like, I'm Brian Fellow.
Are you? Was it Woodrow?
Woodrow. That's it. That's it.
Yeah,
that's the one.
That's
okay.
It.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Tracy Morgan is funny, man. He's still funny, and he was really funny on that show.
Really loved him.
Yeah. I don't know. I think when you're talking, you know, really, really memorable characters that have made a huge impression, you gotta, you know, I mean, I would imagine the top of a lot of people's list would be Matt Foley. living in a van down by the river.
Oh yeah,
I mean that Chris Farley. That's that sketch. That I can watch that sketch 50 times in a row. It's so funny. He's unbelievably funny. And the best part is just watching Christina Applegate and David Spade lose it. Now, now here's the I don't know if you guys know this or not, but you know what he's like? I'm going to be your shadow. Here's you. Here's me. There's you. There. Boom. When he goes through the table.
That wasn't planned, right?
No. Yeah. No.
Come on.
No, it wasn't planned. What happened was
he shattered
Farley.
Him.
Yeah. When they did it at Dress, he didn't jump on the table. He didn't smash the table. After they did the sketch at Dress, and it went well because you can you know they have an audience for the Dress rehearsal. So after they did it at Dress, Chris Farley went to the prop guys and said, "Put a crashaway table.
Oh, okay.
Put a table because I want to jump through it." And so the thing nobody knew. Nobody told anybody. No, you know, like so Phil Hartman who was on stage and. Who played his wife? Julia Sweeney played his wife, and Christina Applegate and David Spade. Nobody told them that he was going to do this. And so when you watch that sketch, if you watch it, and again, one of the funniest sketches in the history of Saturday Night Live, when you watch that sketch, when he goes through that table, everybody just goes, what? I mean, like, you can see the face. But the only person, because my favorite cast member of all time, and we're going to talk to Gary. Is that Gary or am I glad?
Gabby.
Gabby. Okay, yeah. I didn't have my glasses on. Sorry. Bees look like ours when you can't see. We're going to talk to Gabby in a second. But my favorite cast member in the history of Saturday Night Live is Phil Hartman. I think Phil Hartman was the best cast member ever. They used to call him the glue because whatever sketch he was in, he was great, even if it wasn't working, even if it was bad. And if you go back and watch that scene, that sketch, where Farley goes through the table, he's the only one that doesn't break.
Wow.
Because it's Phil friggin' Hartman. And he's, you know what I mean?
I have to watch this immediately.
He's so great. Now, here's Gabby confirming the greatness of Phil Hartman. Hi, Gabby.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I loved him in the anal retentive series. The anal retentive fisherman comes to mind.
The anal retentive chef. Is anal retentive chef?
Yes.
How about unfrozen caveman lawyer?
Yeah, I mean yes. I'm gonna have to go back on YouTube and see if I can relive some of those. But I don't know what it was. He was just so that's the name that comes to mind. And then for guest hosts, I actually like John Hamm.
John Hamm is hilarious. John Hamm is great, and I had no idea John Hamm was funny until he hosted SNL because you know I only knew him from Mad Men, you know.
Right.
So I just assumed okay, serious actor plays bad guys or shady dudes. He comes on and kills it the first time he hosted SNL.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah,
okay.
That's a lot of great memories, and of course Bill Murray and the Cubs and being from Chicago. I mean, the whole Chicago connection. Any of those characters, I love.
Yeah. Well, he did Nick the Lounge Singer, which is one of the greatest characters in the history of SNL. Bill Murray's Nick the Lounge Singer. It's just fantastic. Okay, Gabby, thank you, Gabby.
You're welcome.
Okay, take
Bye.
Care. Yeah. Well, you know, she mentioned John Hamm. Here's a fantastic thing. Here's a fantastic tidbit about John Hamm. They did, you know, Bill Hader, who also one of the best cast members ever, Bill Hader. I adore Bill Hader. Anyway, he was doing, they did a version of the Vincent Price Halloween special, you know, when he was doing Vincent Price. And they had Fred Armisen as Liberace and Kristen Wiig was Gloria Swanson and John Hamm was James Mason. Okay, but they changed it because he was supposed to do, I want to say he was supposed to do Frank Sinatra. He was supposed to be Frank Sinatra. But they changed it at the last minute. And they said, we'd like James Mason. Can you do it, James Mason? This was after, and again, this happened after Dress. Because in Dress, they did Sinatra, and it didn't work very well. So they rewrote the sketch in between Dress and Live. And so, you know, half an hour before he's got to go on, they go, can you do it, James Mason? And he's like, I'll try. Have you seen that sketch?
I don't think I have.
His James Mason is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And I had no, you know, I was impressed with it just on that level alone. But the fact that they threw that at him like a half an hour beforehand and he came up with this James Mason impression, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I'm going to have to go look it up.
He's I love John Hamm. I think John Hamm. They did a sketch with him. Michael Bublé was the musical guest one time when John Hamm was hosting, and they did a fake commercial for John Hamm, like kidnapped Michael Bublé and made him be a part of a restaurant that he opened up called Hamm and Bubbly.
Oh.
Where all they did was serve ham and champagne, and Michael Bublé had to sing the theme song to it, but he kept pronouncing it Bubbly, like his last name was Bubbly, so it was Ham and Bubbly. Fantastic. So, anyway, all right, we got tons of more characters to talk about. Matt Foley was just one of the classic ones, and of course, you got to talk about Wayne and Garth, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Wayne and Garth, you know, just classic. I mean, classic, obviously, they ended up making two movies from that, and... But yeah, people love that one. People love that. And that was always really, you know, because as you know, if you're a regular watcher of the show, they try to front load the show with the best sketches first, in the first, oh, yeah, like third, because they think people are going to start tuning out. So that's why the 1250 sketch is always great. They call it the 1250 sketch because that's where they put all the weird stuff. That's like, you know, they go, okay, look, it's 10 to 12. It's 10 to 1. In New York, and they're like, at this point, you know, we're going to lose half the viewers, so if you want to do something crazy, if you want to do a sketch that's insane, that's why I always look forward to the 1250 sketches, because that's where they test out the weird stuff, like the really weird stuff. So, all right, that's where a lot of Will Ferrell stuff got started, because Will Ferrell did the weirdest, he and Adam McKay would do the weirdest stuff, they would write the weirdest stuff.
I will save my favorite Will Ferrell for when we come
back.
Oh, okay,
all right, okay, cool, we got a break here, we got weather, and then we'll come back. Who are your favorite SNL characters of all time? There are so many to choose from, and we're going to talk about this for the rest of the morning. 312-981-7200.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality.
Yeah.
Open your eyes.
So closely associated with Wayne and Garth. By the way, the song rules. The movie sucks. it's Nick DiGilio here. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, and we're talking about your favorite SNL characters. And 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Okay, the guy who has been on SNL the longest, who now holds the record for being on the longest, is Kenan Thompson. And it took a while for Kenan Thompson to get the respect that he deserves. I think Kenan Thompson is brilliant. I think he's hilarious. I think every single week he's a highlight of the show. There's just no question about it. And he does a fantastic Steve Harvey. I mean, his you know, when he's like, well, how's it going, playa? And all that. And he's just so funny. But my favorite thing that Kenan Thompson ever did was when he played DeAndre Cole, the host of What's Up With That, which I'm telling you, the first time I saw that sketch, the first time I saw What's Up With That, my ex-wife and I were watching, and I was laughing so hard during it, I couldn't even believe it. And I remember we watched it a second time, like when the show ended, we watched it again, because I DVR it every week. So we watched it the second time, and we laughed, and I was like, that might be the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. You know, when it was over, I was like, that was really maybe the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life, but it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And not only is DeAndre Cole hilarious, but the whole setup is hilarious, because Bill Hader as Lindsey Buckingham is genius, fantastic. But my favorite thing about that, about What's Up With That, is Jason Sudeikis in the red tracksuit doing the running man and dancing. That I don't even know the character's name. I believe they named him Leslie, if I'm not mistaken. I think the last What's Up With That that they did, they revealed his name. But yeah, that's one of my favorites. Let's see. 763 area code says my favorite character is it's Pat. Pat's a great character. Terrible movie.
Yeah.
Terrible movie. Jason in Indiana says my favorite character is Colonel Lingus. You know who wrote that sketch? One of the most shameless sketches of all time. I mean, just, you know, they keep saying Colonel Lingus in so many different ways and making it even more, risque. And of course, Walken, please. That's Tina Fey wrote that. And you know how Tina Fey is always, you know, she's known for being so smart and witty, and she writes these very, you know, smart and intelligent sketches. And 30 Rock was just so really smart, and then she'll write crap like that. Like she does, because she's got that kind of sense of humor. She wrote 316 area code. That's Keith in tennis in Kentucky says my favorite character was played by Eddie Murphy, and that's Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood. Always great. Who is it? That was always great. And then the character that he played in the black and white short about he played a convict. He was in jail, and he was also a poet. And he wrote, "Kill my landlord, C-I-L-L, my landlord." 219 area code says, my favorite SNL characters are the Blues Brothers and the Church Lady. Yeah, Church Lady, Dana Carvey. 920 area code, my favorite sketch is, what the hell is that, with Steve Martin and Bill Murray. That's so funny. And that was Bill Murray basically, you know, that was Bill Murray doing Carl from Caddyshack before he...
Yeah.
Before he did Caddyshack. That was like 3 years before Caddyshack. But he's like, what the hell is that? Billy Crystal is Ricardo Montalban. And in Fernando's Hideaway, that's Kathy. Yeah, you look marvelous. It's amazing that, you know, you think about some of the stuff that Billy Crystal did on that show and Christopher Guest.
Mm-hmm.
They were only on one season. It's hard to believe because they had such memorable characters and they did such really great work. One season they were on. So, all right, let's see. What else do we got here? How about we're still talking about Eddie Murphy? What about buckwheat?
Yep.
Buckwheat, fantastic. How about some of the impressions? You got, well, first of all, every Celebrity Jeopardy is great. Will Ferrell as Alex Trebek, and of course, Daryl Hammond as Sean Connery. I mean, that's just classic. Here's a couple of characters that I really love. Will Ferrell and Sherry O'Terry as the cheerleaders.
So Will Ferrell is hands down one of my two favorite cast members.
Okay, so what were the two that you said they were in one sketch together?
So Will Ferrell, and the other is Chris Kattan.
Oh, I love Chris Kattan.
Because he had magic every time he got
out. And the thing about Chris Kattan is he's underrated.
Uh-huh.
As a cast member of SNL, he did great work on that show, and he doesn't come up often enough when you're talking about some of the best cast members in the history of SNL, but he's one of the best cast members ever, and he did a lot of memorable characters.
Yeah, I mean, the Batabi brothers, who didn't do the club moves?
the Batabi. Yeah, the Roxbury brothers, and he was great with that. He was also...
So the sketch I was teasing to is Mr. Peepers.
Yeah.
And I'm going blank on which actress it was that was on as the guest that week.
Okay, she was
I think it was Claire Danes.
Claire Danes, okay.
And they did a Mr. Peepers bit, and Kattan got Ferrell to lose it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. And I can never... I haven't been able to find the sketch, in a while.
Yeah.
Just because Ferrell
was pretty good. I mean, he broke every once in a while. Legendarily in Cowbell. I mean, you know. Cowbell is just, I mean, you know, it's so funny because, you know, Christopher Walken, who is a fantastic host because he's so vacant and weird. Like, he wasn't even looking at anybody. He was looking at the teleprompter. I don't think he even noticed that everybody was breaking during the Cowbell sketch. And that's another added layer to how hilarious it is, because there's Walken just, like, completely committed and not even looking at them and acknowledging that everybody's losing it. The only person who didn't break in that, but I gotta give credit where credit is due, besides Walken, because he wasn't paying attention. But of the cast members didn't break, Parnell did not break.
Yeah.
Parnell does not break in that sketch. Everybody else loses it, but Parnell... But anyway, Ferrell would break. He would break every once in a while. There was a sketch that they did with Molly Shannon and Parnell as parents, and they're in a doctor's office trying to find out what happened to their baby.
Oh, yeah.
And Will Ferrell is the doctor, and he's saying all these horrible things to them. And then Tim Meadows comes in as Dr. Poop, and he comes in as Dr. Poop, and he's like, I'm sorry, I can't help your baby, but I can do the robot. And then he does the robot and says, that'll be $5,000. And he walks out, and they cut back to Ferrell. He's gone. I mean, he's just like, he's closing his eyes. He can't, and Molly Shannon is completely gone. But yeah, Will Ferrell has done some greats. I mean, it's his Harry Carey. You know, what's really funny is that when people do an impression of Harry Carey now, they do an impression of Will Ferrell's Harry Carey, not really Harry Carey. But yeah, the Spartan Spirit cheerleaders are some of my favorite. How about the classic from the old days, Roseanne, Rosanna, Dana? Gilda Radner, man. I mean, just a classic. And we've got, but so they actually include Bruce Dickinson on this list. I'm looking at this list.
Oh, that's
cool. Bruce Dickinson, the character that Christopher Walken played in the cowbell sketch. So
that's awesome. It's like,
the cowbell. It's really funny. Christopher Walken he's won an Academy Award. He's been in, critically acclaimed movies, classic movies. And he says that when he walks down the street, what he hears the most is people going, "Cowbell!" That's what he hears the most. This stupid sketch that he did like 19 years ago on SNL. And again, this guy's an Oscar winner, a classic actor who's done, great movies. And he's best remembered as "I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell." How about Norm MacDonald's Burt Reynolds?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. What's funny about it is that he is doing, when he was on the show and he was doing Burt Reynolds like chewing gum from the 70s Burt Reynolds. Uh-huh. Even though at the time Burt Reynolds was gray hair and he was older, but he was doing like time capsule 1970s Burt Reynolds. And genius. Absolute genius. And it was funny every single time. Every single time. Turd Ferguson. Nah, my name's Turd Ferguson. He's got the oversized cowboy hat on. It's the best. Okay, we got a break here. The news is coming up next. What are your favorite characters ever on SNL? And we'll talk more about that right after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 o'clock. Friday morning we are not doing our regular Friday features. We'll get back to them next week. Dan Shugur is taking some time off, and he's the guy who puts all that together. So we're taking a break from that this week, but we'll get back to it. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we are talking about the best characters in SNL history. Who are your favorites? Which ones make you laugh? And that includes impressions as well. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We got some texts here. Let me read a few of those, and we'll get back to talking about some of these legendary characters in SNL history. 807, Canadian Bill says, hi, how about Ed Grimley, Waiting for Christmas? By the way, Netflix is doing an SCTV reunion sometime this year. I cannot wait to see. I love SCTV. SCTV is brilliant. And yeah, so that'll be fun. But yeah, Ed Grimley, a great character. Ed Grimley, it's a character that's obviously started on SCTV, but he brought it over to Saturday Night Live. Joe Piscopo and Eddie Murphy as Frank Sinatra and Stevie Wonder. Yeah, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Joe Piscopo was never a guy that I thought was very funny, but his Sinatra was really good. He and Eddie Murphy were actually pretty strong, but when Eddie Murphy first showed up on SNL, it was a terrible season when he first showed up. And for a couple of years, he was really the only highlight of that show. Like, he dominated that show when he was on, and he was so young. He was like 19 when he was on, SNL. He was a kid. Just dominated it. As soon as he walked on stage, you couldn't take your eyes off of him. Alec Baldwin is the bad soap opera actor. That's a great one. Christopher Walken getting the census done, the census taker. Tim Meadows plays the census taker, and he has a wife who happens to be a cougar. Like a real cougar, not an older woman. That's a very funny sketch. Very, very funny sketch. 630 area code says, anyone from Weekend Update? Lots of great Weekend Update guests who show up on Update. 630 could always enjoyed Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer with Phil Hartman. That's one of my favorites too. We mentioned him earlier, Phil Hartman. Just great. I mean, all the way around, great, great stuff. And Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer is hilarious. It's just really hilarious. 224 says Samurai Delicatessen, Samurai TV Repairman. Well, the Samurai in general, the John Belushi Samurai stuff is fantastic. Billy Crystal is Fernando. We got another vote for that. And also Buckwheat, and Buckwheat Sings. Right. All right. Let's see what we got. Here's John on WGN. Hey, John.
Good morning, Nick.
Hi.
John Belushi and Chris Power, when he was a Japanese swordsman. And on the set, he
yes,
he took
the samurai.
The there and he
yeah.
Took,
yeah,
yeah. He took the statue's head off, and Chris Farley's eyes just almost popped out of his head. Chris Farley walked off the set. He said, "I'm not going to get stabbed by that SB."
Yeah. So John Belushi as the samurai. The thing about John Belushi as the samurai, which was great. I mean, that's he auditioned for that. That was his part. Thank you for the call, John. 312-981-7200. When Belushi did his audition, he did the samurai and just like kind of he did the samurai character because it was a character that he was doing here in Chicago on Second City on the stage at Second City, and it was one of the most popular characters that he did here at Second City. So he brought it with him. But the great thing about the samurai was it was always with Buck Henry. It was always when Buck Henry was hosting. And they would always bring Buck Henry in to be the guy who, you know, would have to deal with the samurai while he was trying to order whatever it was, whether it be a sandwich or you know, or check into a hotel or anything like that. There was one time, and this really happened, one time, because Belushi would be very fierce on stage. Like, his energy was, like, through the roof. And that sword he had, the sword that he had in that was a real sword. It was like real metal. It was not a fake sword. It was real. So one night, and I'm sure you guys have probably heard this story, is he was doing the bit and he was swinging the sword around and he nicked Buck Henry's head and cut him open with the sword. And Buck Henry was bleeding and he was bleeding and then he had to wear a bandage on his forehead for the rest of the show. They bandaged him up and he had a bandage on his forehead for the rest of the show. And that was actually, you know, obviously the samurai sketch is a great sketch. So they would do that pretty early in the show. Like I said, they top load the episodes with the what they think is the best material early. So, you know, whenever they did the samurai, it was very early in the show. So he's got this cut on his forehead and a bandage on his head, and he's got to do the rest of the show live. There's like over an hour left of the show. So what happened was every other cast member to show support for Buck Henry put bandages on their foreheads. And Chevy Chase was the first one to do it because when they did update, they cut to Chevy Chase. He's got a bandage on his forehead. And then like in other places, other cast members would come out with bandages on their forehead. But that's the kind of intensity that Belushi had. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's see. Here's Tim on WGN. Hey, Tim.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Father Sarducci.
Yeah.
And Chico Escuela.
Well, you know, baseball have been very, very good to me, which is fantastic. But yeah, Father Guido Sarducci, Don Novello, I love that character. I absolutely love that character. And Don Novello was a great writer on the show, wrote a lot of really great sketches. And the Father Guido Sarducci thing it was pretty classic. And you know, nobody at first knew Don Novello who he was because he wasn't technically, you know, a member of the not ready for primetime players as they were called then, but he was great. So those are two of your favorites, Tim?
They are. And can I mention one more?
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Bill.
Come on now. Mr. Bill rules. And it was, and again, Tim, one joke thing. Sluggo comes out, you know, and you know, Mr. Hand is going to, you know, it just hurts Mr. Bill. And it's, oh, no, the whole time. And it's funny. It was funny every single time. Every single time. Yeah, Mr. Bill. Very cool. All right, Tim, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. You know, who was sort of, who was a contributor to the first season of SNL, Albert Brooks. Albert Brooks used to do short films, and they were brilliant. They were hilarious, and that's kind of how he got. I mean, he was a stand-up comedian and a writer for many years. But his first exposure as a performer and a comedian was on SNL when he would do those short films that he made himself, and that's, you know, how he became a filmmaker too. Let's see. Here is Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Nick. Good morning.
Hey.
How you doing?
All right. What's up?
Yeah, I got one that doesn't get mentioned. A couple that don't get mentioned very often, but I used to love the Frank and Davis,
oh, yeah,
Frank and the Davis comedy tea bits that were really just off weird,
yeah,
just weird stuff.
He'd, yeah,
come out with a brain tumor, or he was admitted that he was gay, and his actor playing his little kid would go, "I hate you, Dad."
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's
and, yeah. Also, who was his name? Michael O'Donoghue as doing his impression.
Right, with needles, needles. I think needles yeah. plunged in his eyes. I think it would sound something like this. Oh! He was great, Michael O'Donoghue. He was great. The first head writer of SNL. He was the first head writer on SNL.
From the National Lampoon.
Yeah, National Lampoon. He came from the Lampoon. Exactly. That's fantastic. Yeah, Franken and Davis, man, they were great. They were really great. Yeah. Okay, Mike. Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome. Take care.
Okay. Here's a more recent one. It's Bill Hader. Bill Hader had a lot of great ones. I am a huge fan of Herb Welch, the old reporter where he bashes people in the mouth with the microphone. That's funny every single time. Every single time Hader hits somebody in the face with a microphone, it's funny every time. Yeah, Herb Welch. That's a great character. All right. Okay. Let's take a break here for weather, and then we'll jump back in. We got a ton of texts coming in. A few lines are open if you want to jump in. What are your favorite characters from SNL? 312-981-7200. That's the phone number. We're going to do this up until the Blackhawks Express, and then we'll close with it to close out the show. SNL characters, what are your favorites? 312-981-7200. All right. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And we have been talking about our favorite characters, the best characters in SNL history, and there's so, so many of them. And we've been getting a bunch of people who have been calling in and texting in, and we want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. Here's Tom on WGN. Hi, Tom.
Hi, I'm from Fayetteville, Arkansas. I'm getting a good signal tonight. I look like the old original cast, you know, John Belushi, who does the Godfather, the Killer Bees, or the Coneheads.
Yeah.
The original cast, I thought was the best.
Yeah, the original cast was great. You know, I don't necessarily think that they were the best, but I think they were great. And the funny thing about the Killer Bees is Belushi hated that sketch. He hated wearing the costume. He thought it was the stupidest thing ever, and he tried to do everything he could to kind of sabotage it. So if you watch the old sketches, you know, they're wearing those stupid things on their head. He tries to get those to spin around, and he gets them to spin around, and he inadvertently got laughs doing it. So, yeah, he hated
it. Probably hard, too.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
There you go. Yeah. Let's see. 847 area code says John Belushi with the Killer Bees. Yeah, I mean, he just so hated it. He had the antenna on top of his head. He would move it around purposely to make it look stupid, but it would swing around and people would laugh. 847 is Justin Timberlake as the singing fundraising guy. Oh, yeah. Bring it on down the Coffeeville. That was. Yeah. 815 area code, the car horn sketch with Jenny Slate. Yeah, that you know, Jenny Slate had a very short existence on SNL, which I think is unfortunate. Well, she's got a great career. She's making really good movies, and she's doing fine. But I thought she was underutilized on SNL. She did the car horn one, and I think there was a doorbell one that she did. She did this character where it was like she sold doorbells, and there were different sounds that the doorbells made. And then she sold car horns, and there were different sounds that the car horns made. And she did like this. It was a great character. It was a really great character. But Jenny Slate has she's got a pretty big distinction for her history with SNL. She was the first cast member on her first night, her first show. She dropped the F-bomb on live TV. And I don't know, maybe that's why they didn't, she only did one season. So maybe that's why, because like her first, you know, right out of the gate, her first show, F-bomb, she drops it on live TV. But I love Jenny Slate. I just think she's great. Let's see. Here is David on WGN. Hi, David.
I got two of them. The Winers.
Oh yeah.
My parents.
Yeah. Robin Duke and Joe Piscopo. Yeah.
Yeah, drive to Florida. My parents really loved me and my sister in the back seat whining.
We're the whiners.
We don't want to be in the car.
Yeah, yeah, very funny.
And Land Shark.
Yeah, Land Shark. Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's so funny because Chevy Chase in the big. This was like when Jaws was like huge, and but the funniest is when he goes Candygram. He's trying to get.
Yeah.
And he knocks on the door. Candygram. Those are good ones. All right, David. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Take care,
thanks,
David. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Dave on WGN. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how about John Lovitz as the pathological liar? Yeah.
That's the ticket. Yeah, Tommy. What was his last name? Tommy. Anyway, he was the pathological liar, but his name was Tommy. I remember his first name was Tommy.
And then there was another character from the 90s. He played Mango.
Oh, Mango! That's Chris Kattan. We were singing the praises of Chris Kattan. Ben and I underrated by far player on that show.
I agree. Mango was so funny. No, you go away.
Yeah,
come back.
Yeah.
Nobody talked to the Mango.
Yeah, he's slapping his butt wearing those stupid shorts. Yeah, it was funny. All right, Dave. Thanks.
You guys are awesome. Bye bye.
Thank you. Hey, how about the couple? They were a couple. It was Kattan and it was Sherry O'Terry, and they were the couple that got really sexual. Like they would like they went in to buy a car and they were like, oh yeah, what are you gonna do? And then they do incredibly inappropriate sexual stuff. That was, I can't remember, I don't know if they had a name or not, but that was that was very funny. There's another, you know, that cast was really strong, man, you know, in those days.
Really strong.
Molly Shannon, who, by the way, is my favorite female cast member of all time. I love Molly Shannon. Sherry O'Terry was on there, Anna Gasteyer. Yeah. I mean, they had some really strong, you know, those casts were strong. You know, between Will Ferrell, Chris Kattan, Tim Meadows. Those were good. We got somebody who has a whole bunch of their favorites. The Super Bass-O-Matic 76 commercial guy. Of course, that's Dan Aykroyd. Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, which was mentioned. Buckwheat was mentioned. Rosanna, Dana, Wayne and Garth, The Church Lady, The Samurai. Opera Man. First time we've mentioned Opera Man. first time we've mentioned Opera Man, the Adam Sandler character that a lot of people loved. And then, of course, The Continental, which is Christopher Walken's classic character, basically doing like a one-man show right into the camera. 708 area code. What about Toonces the Driving Cat? That's the best SNL sketch ever. Toonces is awesome. Toonces the Driving Cat is fantastic. I laughed at that every single time. 63 area code said, you forgot Jane Curtin. I didn't forget Jane Curtin. She rules. She's awesome. 815, Will Ferrell is the office worker who's wearing the American flag Speedo. Yeah, by the way, Will Ferrell never had... He never had any problem with like showing off his belly or his butt. He never really had any issues with his, with just doing that. When he played the homeless guy who was posing naked for the art classes, those were always funny sketches too. And then how about massive head wound Harry?
Yeah, I read that one and I was laughing here in the booth.
Massive head wound Harry. I think they only did it one time.
It was so good.
Oh my god, it was fantastic, and it was basically Dana Carvey wearing like this wig. It looks like he's got his head is split open, his brains are kind of hanging out. And there's blood all over it, and he's at the party, and people are just like, maybe you should lay down or something. You know, he's at the party, so they eventually lay him on the couch, and then they bring a dog out. I don't know if you remember this or not, and then the dog starts sniffing the head wound.
Oh yeah,
and then he starts eating it and trying to pull the wig off of Dana Carvey's head, and Dana Carvey has to hold the wig because the dog is chewing on it and pulling the wig off of Carvey's head. Massive head wound, Harry. I don't know, it's ridiculous. Here's Kurt on WGN. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
All right. Show. Thanks, buddy.
I had a couple. Yeah, a couple of them. I just heard Toonces the Cat. That was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
After the Ladies' Man and Stuart Smalley.
Yes, I got the Ladies' Man was hilarious. That was absolutely. It was funny every time. I got my Courvoisier. He was Ladies' Man was funny as hell. Yeah. Okay. Hey, Kurt. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. And here's Paula on WGN. Hi, Paula.
Hi.
Hi.
You are bringing back so many memories. It's unbelievable.
I know, I know. There's so many characters to choose from. It's crazy.
Well, here's a few. Okay, Sherry O'Terry at the pharmacy.
Oh, yeah.
I love her.
Well, she had like bags of pills, and she had her makeup was all messed up. She had like makeup of her face. It was like, Sherry O'Terry was I mean, she was great on that show. She had so many great characters.
Oh, yeah. And then I love The Continent. I mean, Chris Walken is The Continent. It was magnificent.
It is great. Absolutely great stuff.
Yeah. Then I just want to say a set. For me, there was a set that I will never forget, the Scotch Tape Store.
Oh, yeah. Nothing. Yeah, that was a great sketch. That was really a great sketch, the Scotch Tape Store. Great one. Okay, thank you, Paula. Mm-hmm.
Good night.
All right, have a good morning. All right, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up, and then we got more great characters in the history of SNL right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGNs. We are live on the Allstate Skyline Studio here at WGN, and we're here until 5 a.m. And Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. And we are talking about some memorable SNL characters. And which ones are your favorites? Which ones make you laugh? Talk or text at 312-981-7200. Let's see. We got a few more here. What about Debbie Downer? Debbie Downer, Rachel Dratch's character, Debbie Downer, is fantastic. And what's really amazing about it is the very first time that they did it. The first time they did it was when they were at Disney. They were at Disney World. The whole family had the trip to Disney World, and the host was Lindsay Lohan. And the first time they did it, it's mostly memorable because of how much breaking went on during that sketch and how out of control it got, where, like, Rachel Dratch couldn't keep it together. And I mean, everybody at that table for the first Debbie Downer sketch was just losing it. And it was so much fun to watch. It's fun to watch. I think it's fun to watch the performers break and laugh. But that Debbie Downer, the first Debbie Downer sketch, I mean, with the funniest moment of that Debbie Downer sketch is, like, they've already lost it. Like Rachel Dratch at this point is laughing her butt off. And, of course, Jimmy Fallon and Horatio Sands, those guys laughed all the time on that show. And you had Fred Armisen and Amy Poehler and then Lindsay Lohan. And so that's who was in the sketch. And so the sketch had gone off the rails at this point. But Rachel Dratch had one. She had another line that she had to say, and she's like, everybody at the table is like completely gone, and she's laughing, and then she has to say this line. She goes, "Well, it's official. I can't have children," and the whole table loses it. At one point, Lindsay Lohan just gets up and leaves. She walks off because it's like, I mean, it was just, I don't know if there's been a sketch where there's been more complete, blatant, insane breaking on stage than the first Debbie Downer. And the thing about it is that that made it even more hilarious because of the performers just losing it on stage. But every time they did Debbie Downer, it was always funny. Always funny. It was a great sketch. Let's see. How about Delicious Dish with Anna Gasteyer and Molly Shannon? That's one of my favorites, the National Public Radio Delicious Dish show. Of course, you've got Sweaty Balls. That's the fantastic Alec Baldwin sketch. But that was funny all the time. The Delicious Dish was funny all the time.
You know what another great Gasteyer combo was?
Yeah,
Marty and Bobby Culp.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And they
Culp, I'm sorry.
Culp, yeah. Culp. And it was always like, ooh, Mike's a little hot. A little hot? Yeah. Can we and the bald cap that Farrell wore during those scenes.
Oh, just amazing.
It's so funny. Yeah, that was good. Anna Gasteyer, another really, really, really talented. And of course, I mentioned Molly Shannon, but I can't not mention Mary Catherine Gallagher, which is one of the greatest characters of all time. And I think the best one, because I, you know, and the thing, one of the things that I love about Molly Shannon is that, well, one, she's brilliant and she's funny and she's adorable. That's one. But she would give 100% on that stage. She would throw herself around that stage, like physically, especially when she did Mary Catherine Gallagher. I mean, she would fly through walls and knock stuff over. And there would be times when you'd watch it and you're like, oh my God, Molly, take it easy. You're going to get hurt. I've always loved Molly Shannon. She's always been my favorite. And I got to meet her. I actually got to meet her. I interviewed her some like 15 years ago. She made a movie called Year of the Dog, which is a really wonderful film. Mike White wrote and directed it. And so she came to town for to promote it for a junket, and I got to interview her. I taped the interview. It was in her, they booked out a hotel room for everybody to come in for the junket and come in and do it. So I had like 15 minutes with her. We talked for a little bit. We had a really great time. And she, it was right before she went back and hosted. And she just got the news that she was hosting. And she's like, I'm like, oh my God, you're going to host? And she's like, I'm so excited. I can't believe it. I'm so excited. And she's like, any requests? And I'm like, Sally O'Malley, I'm 50. You got to do Sally O'Malley. And she's like, okay. And then she did it. And I don't think it had anything to do with me. But she did do it when she came back. It was one of the funniest Sally O'Malley. You know, the, I'm 50. I like to kick and stretch and kick. I'm 50. 50 years old. And it was the sketch that they did the night that she hosted was one of the best Sally O'Malley sketches ever. Yeah. It's when she was auditioning for the Bada Bing.
Oh, that's right.
From The Sopranos. Oh my God, was that funny? But yeah, Molly Shannon, man. Here's another thing that she told me. First of all, she kissed me and hugged me, and I was very happy about that. And I had I had a picture with her, and I had this stupid grin on my face because I love her so much. But I just want to mention this. This is what Molly Shannon told me one time. She told me she's like, "Here's the deal. You always have to watch the goodbyes at the end when everybody's on stage." Always watch the goodbyes and watch them closely because you can tell what's going on by watching the goodbyes. And I watch the goodbyes every single time now. And you can kind of like see what relationships are happening, how people are feeling. It was one of the coolest things she ever told me was to always watch the goodbyes. Now, the problem is that now NBC is cutting away. They don't, sometimes they don't show all the credits at the end. So they cut away. So you can't watch the goodbyes. But Molly Shannon, always watch the goodbyes. I'll never forget that.
So I haven't been able to get it to you quick, but this was one I loved.
Uh-huh.
We had a texter from the 224 say, "What about the jacuzzi lifeguard?"
Oh yeah, well that's Jim Carrey.
Carol and Jim Carrey.
Yeah, that was a one off with Jim Carrey. Uh-huh. That was really funny. That was really that whole episode. That was the first time Jim Carrey hosted. You know, Jim Carrey auditioned and didn't make it.
Yeah.
He auditioned. It's amazing how many people auditioned for SNL that didn't get the gig. It's pretty amazing. But that was a really great episode. That whole episode was good because that's when he was with the Roxbury guys, which was one of the best Roxbury sketches of all time. So, yeah, that was a great episode. How about Baba Wawa? Gilda Radner doing Baba Wawa, which is. It's hilarious. About Jimmy Fallon's Barry Gibb's talk show, and Justin Timberlake playing his brother, which is just hysterical. Yeah. Those two guys together, obviously, you know, they work very well together. They're very funny, both of them together. How about Will Ferrell's Robert Goulet? Robert Goulet! here's one of my favorites, Drunk Uncle. Bobby Moynihan is Drunk Uncle. That was funny every single time. I also loved Bobby Moynihan doing the guy who heard the secondhand news. That was always funny. And Riblet was funny. Bobby Moynihan was great on that show. He's another one of those guys that I think is kind of underappreciated. You know, currently my favorite cast member on the show. Do you watch it now, Ben?
You know what? Not recently.
Okay. There's a cast member on the show, and she's featured player. So she's not even like a regular cast member yet. She's featured. Her name is Heidi Gardner. She's great. She's great. She does really great work. Great impressions. Why am I blanking on the girl's name from the Kristen Schaal?
Okay,
from Last Man on Earth. You know, she's got that really high voice. She does an incredible Heidi Gardner does an incredible Kristen Schaal. She does an unbelievable Allison Janney, but. the best character, one of my favorite characters, one of my favorite new characters to come on SNL in years, is a character that Heidi Gardner does. She appears on Weekend Update. She's done it 3 times now. And it's she's Angel, the girlfriend, the boxer's girlfriend from every boxing movie ever made. And her thing is, like, she comes out, she's all upset. You should look it up. You should look it up. Because the first one that she did, because the thing is, like, she talks about how hard it is to, you know, to be a girlfriend to the Tommy, her boyfriend, who is, like, you know, he's got a fight tonight. He's going to get hurt. And it's all about, like, her being upset. And she's got a pretty heavy kind of a New York accent.
Okay.
Talking about how she's, you know, she's worried about Tommy. And her catchphrase, her thing is, like, every time she gets upset and, you know, Tommy's going to have another fight, that's it. I'm taking my kids to my sisters. And that's the catchphrase. Oh. I'm taking the kids to my sisters.
You know what? You say that, and you just reminded me of another one of my favorites,
which
from the 90s, Linda Richman.
Oh,
Coffee Talk. Linda Richman.
Class. The one where Barbara Streisand actually shows up.
Madonna and Roseanne.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Yeah, and you know what? Nobody knew that she was there. That's another one of those things that they sprung on them. Those reactions are genuine. Like, oh my God, Barbara Streisand is here. Okay, how about this one? This is a more recent one. It's Cecily Strong, who I love, and Vanessa Bayer, who I miss. I love Vanessa Bayer. She's so good. When they do, like, the ex-porn stars, and they're selling, like, Swarovski crystals and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then how about Amy Poehler and Maya Rudolph on Bronx Beat? They hosted the talk show Bronx Beat. That's ridiculous. And, you know, there's so many that Kristen Wiig had. Kristen Wiig had so many great characters. She had Penelope, the one who's trying to up everybody, and she's playing with her hair. Then she had Mindy Grayson, who was always on Secret Word. And she was the Broadway actress who couldn't give clues with playing Password. But she just, I mean, Kristen Wiig, one of the greatest cast members in the history of the show.
We've had a few texters say Gilly.
Gilly, oh my God, Gilly. So funny. Gilly! Well, also, one of the things that's funny about that is Will Forte. Who, by the way, Will Forte, MacGruber. I don't even, you know.
Oh, it, yeah.
Did you see the movie?
Yeah.
I loved that movie. Yeah. I thought it was hilarious, and it's one of the, of the SNL movies, I think it's the second worst at the box office. The first is It's Pat, but MacGruber made no money and it got horrible reviews. I laughed my ass off during
hysterical.
That movie. It's really funny. Apparently, Forte is working on a MacGruber TV series.
Oh man,
yeah, no, I'm all over that. And also, how about the Falconer? Will Forte as the Falconer. He was great too. So many great characters. Okay, we got a break here, and we've got the weather. And then after the weather, we'll hear a very positive Blackhawks Express, and then we'll wrap up the show and the talk about characters from SNL. We'd love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. Chicago!
The Chicago Blackhawks need to start a new winning streak, and they'll have a great opportunity to do that tonight as they're back on United Center Ice against New Jersey in the last meeting of the season with the Devils. Time is of the essence for the Hawks to return to a winning way to have any hope of getting back into the wild card race as the deadline approaches. Blackhawks and the Devils, second and final time this season. Down to center ice we go. A couple 19s face off. The drop of the puck, this one's underway in the Devils' control. Drops it off, top of the far circle to Johansson with a shot blocked. Johansson got it back in front and shoots on a butterfly save made by Cam Ward. Puck spun out of there by Seabrook to the near boards to Drake Kajula. He'll clear to center ice. Cahoon got the puck, spins it on the left wing and Isimov. Over the double blue line to the slot, Cahoon shoots! Oh, and Schneider down with a butterfly save. Will hold the puck and a whistle stops play. Fires the puck off the corner boards. It leads behind the net into the far corner. Gustafson then gave it away. Far circle, Severson moves in, shoots and scores! It was Brett Cini setting up Severson. A pass from the left circle to the right circle. And Severson fired it past Cam Ward. The Devils lead the game 1-0. Zajac to Palmieri in the slot, moves in, shoots, punched out with a blocker save. Follow-up shot there by Zajac. That's turned wide with a scrambling save by Ward as well. Put it bottom of the right circle, Johansson. DeBrot at the dot. Put it in front, and then a shot from Zajac. They score. Travis Zajac took a pass from Johansson that originated right along the goal line to the right of the Hawk net. Zajac positioned in the slot, just snapped it past Ward. It's a power play goal. 2-0 Devils. Turning away from Santini. Protection gave it to Kane off the bench. Kane to the slot. Shoots. He scores! A nice handoff by Dylan Sakura. He made a great play out at the right point to retain the Devil zone and then handed the puck off to Kane, who had hopped off the Hawks bench on the delayed penalty. Kane swept his way to the slot and beat Schneider, and the Hawks are on the board, trailing 2-1. Patrick Kane now to the loose puck. High slot, leaves it there for Caciula. Shoots and scores! Drake Caciula rolling into the right circle. Boy, he looked up at the net and he just snapped it past Schneider. And the Blackhawks have tied the score at 2. And Patrick Kane becomes the all-time Blackhawk leader in consecutive games with an assist at 15, breaking the record held by the great Stan Mikita. And the Hawks are tied at 2 with the Devils. Zajac for the Devils, gave it away, high slot, Kane's got it. Kane breaking through center ice over the double line, turning at the left point, hands it off to Cuckoo down the left side, put it right circle, Kane shoots and scores! Jonathan Toews off of a perfect setup from Slater Cuckoo. Toews let it rip from the right circle and he beats Schneider. And the Blackhawks now lead the Devils 3-2. Anisimov shoots and scores! Off the shot from Gustafson. Schneider gave up the rebound, and Anisimov was the first one to it. And with a backhanded flip, he shoves it past Schneider. The Hawks 4, and the Devils 2 with 6:24 left in the third. Saad strips it away from Palmieri. He'll race through center ice and over the Devil line, down the right wing, shorthanded, moves in, shoots! Schneider the save, rebound, score! Brandon Saad's third shorthanded goal of the year! Makes it 5-2 in favor of the Hawks. And for the Devils, shorthanded goals surrendered in consecutive games with 4:45 left in the third. It's 5-2 Hawks. 3-2-1, and a new streak has started for the Hawks. They beat the New Jersey Devils here tonight 5-2 in Chris Kunitz's 1,000th NHL game. The boys are all off the bench, and they skate down to the Hawks' goal crease to congratulate and surround Cam Ward, who turned aside 41 of 43 Devil shots and fought hard throughout to pick up to help the Hawks pick up this victory here tonight. Well done by the Hawks.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the newest member of the 1,000 Games Club, number 14, Chris Kunitz.
So Kunitz skates out from in front of the Blackhawks bench over to the red carpet area. Quick hug and a kiss for his kids and now his wife. And a handshake with Blackhawks Vice President and General Manager Stan Bowman, who will hand him the silver stick.
There you go. That was nice. Kunitz got his 1,000th game. Very, very cool. That was fun. Did a nice ceremony before the game. Very nice ceremony. Troy Murray was proceeding over that ceremony. Nice job. Real nice job. Great job by the Hawks, too. 5 unanswered, man. 5 unanswered in that game.
That was awesome.
They are 2 points away from a playoff spot now.
Yep.
From a wild card spot. So keep it going. They play tomorrow against the Blue Jackets at 7:30 puck drop. So tune in right here on WGN. Okay. We got just a couple minutes real quick here. I want to throw out a few more classic characters from SNL. The Sweeney sisters with Nora Dunn and the great Jan Hooks, the late great Jan Hooks. Fantastic. How about the Target Lady? Another great Kristen Wiig character. Target Lady. We forgot the cheeseburger guys, which is inspired by the old Billy Goat. Hans and Franz. What about Hans and Franz? Hilarious. Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon. One of my favorite Dan Aykroyd characters. Fred Garvin, male prostitute. How about the two a-holes? And it's Kristen Wiig and Jason Sudeikis, like two a-holes try to buy a Christmas tree. You look like a rabbit. And they're, you know, they're both chewing gum, and it's great. Emily Letella, classic Gilda Radner character. How about the Total Bastard Airlines? Do you remember that? That's where they just go, bye-bye. Bye-bye, yeah. David Spade. David Spade always played the same snarky kind of guy. His Hollywood Minute that he used to do on Weekend Update. That's the thing that ticked off Eddie Murphy so much that he never went back to SNL. Except he came back and did a brief thing when they did their 40th anniversary a few years ago. He came back and did he just came out on stage and did like a 2 minutes. He just talked a little bit and left. Wow. And it was the joke that David Spade made. That he took it really hard and was very angry, and he never went back to SNL. And the joke was, during Hollywood Minute, David Spade on Weekend Update said, "Oh, look, kids, a falling star." And it's a picture of Eddie Murphy, who at that time his career was going.
Oh, man.
So David Spade told that joke. And everybody in the audience went, "Oh, no." He's like, "Hey, you know, if you make an omelet, you got to break some eggs." David Spade. All right, here's a sketch that I just love. Andy Samberg. Mark Wahlberg talks to animals. That's one of the funny. It's absolutely one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Say hello to your mother for me. How about Bill Brasky? Bill Brasky, the Bill Brasky guys with the big teeth and their
super fans. Anyone?
Super fans. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel mixed about that one because it makes us look like idiots. It makes Chicagoans look like idiots, but it's really funny.
I like the Baker's Dozen.
Yeah. That makes a baker's dozen. Yeah, and it's you know, it's funny because like during when that was when that sketch was popular, you know, it was Farley, George Wendt, Mike Myers, and then nobody knew who Robert Smigel was. You know, he was a writer on the show, obviously, and then he would go on to, of course, great success as Triumph. But Smigel is the other guy. He's the guy that nobody knows. It's like, who's that kid? Who's that guy? We know all the other cast members. Who's that guy? So. So many. We barely scratched the surface.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I love SNL. The host this week, who the hell is the host this? Oh, it's Don Cheadle. That should be good. Don Cheadle is your host tomorrow night for SNL. Okay. Let's take a break here. We'll be back on Monday morning. We got the Monday morning movie reviews and my dad will tell a joke and more. And the news is up after this. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back on Monday morning with all the regular movie reviews and my dad will tell a joke and much more.